Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've been having him on a lot more than we did in the past. We normally would have him two or three times a year, but because he is in a unique perspective to track what's happening on the buildup for war with Iran, and because he's fighting a potentially lethal form of melanoma, we do have Ray McGovern, top CIA analyst for Ronald Reagan, and of course George Bush Sr., top briefer in the White House, joining us for a full hour in the next hour today. Then for about 30 minutes in the fourth hour, we are joined by a gentleman who just goes by Jimmy Justice so that he won't have any violent repercussions against him in New York City. He is walking all over the city in the last 6 months, videotaping police, parking in front of fire hydrants, double parking, breaking laws, even when they're off duty. In some cases, even while fires are going on, cops will pull up in front of fire hydrants to go in to get themselves coffee and sandwiches while there is a fire outside, and the police cannot, other police that are showing up and the fire department cannot get hooked up to the fire hydrant because the traffic enforcement cop in one case, supposedly enforcing the traffic laws, are parked in front of it. Just an example of the lawlessness of government. And the police union isn't saying police have done anything wrong. They say it's fine for us to break the law. Jimmy Justice is bad. They were actually quoted in the newspaper for saying that. That's what's so amazing about all these new police brutality videos coming out where the cop runs 15 feet out of his way to tackle a cyclist and slam their head in the concrete, and then they charge the cyclist with assaulting the cop. Police union comes out and defends it. Or the famous video a week and a half ago came out in the New York Post, where the guy walks out of a store with a glass and ice to go to an outdoor barbecue. The cops say, come here. We're, you know, randomly checking to see if it's alcohol. The guy keeps walking, so they run over, tackle him, and then beat him full power. Huge cop with full force, like he's swinging in the Yankees. A top slugger just whacking the guy on the shins. Huge, big, bloody creases into his legs and just keeps beating and 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 beating, and you're just clearly enjoying it. With such force, the baton flies out of his hand. He runs over, picks it up, runs back, and just starts slashing. And, of course, another officer runs over and tells him to stop. How dare that officer? He's against the officers. No, that's a good cop that doesn't like brutalizing innocent people and who doesn't want police names and reputation being destroyed by bad cops like the one going crazy. But all of that aside, Israel mulls military option for Iran nukes. Gotta love how that deceptive headline makes it sound like from the Associated Press that they have nuclear weapons, and they run this similar headline every week. I want to go over some AP propaganda today. A lot of other important news we'll be discussing. The first big news story I want to cover today is anti-war website operator threatened by armed thugs. And I know that informationclearinghouse.info is an excellent source of information. It is a clearinghouse of information. They do something I wish we would have more personnel to do, and that is they organize things into really good sections showing the premeditated lies that took us to war, false flag stage government terror, the number of dead troops, the number of dead Iraqis, Afghans. And some of the things that have happened to him have happened to me and others I know. So when I see this MO, it has a lot of credibility for me. The gentleman is not making the right move, though. Cowering, running, hiding out, giving into this will only encourage it. Will only encourage it. So I want to come back, go over this in detail, and then take your phone calls, get into a lot of other news, Ray McGovern as well, and Jimmy Justice, the video camera vigilante. It's all coming up on the other side of this quick break. I'm Alex Jones. Check out the most censored websites on the internet while you still can. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.net, JonesReport.com, TruthNews.us. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Headline on PrisonPlanet.com right now, anti-war website operator threatened by armed thugs. Information Clearinghouse editor, victim of home invasions, warnings to stop what he is doing on the internet now. I have talked to some of the other representatives at Information Clearinghouse just during the last break, and they have sent me an email statement saying that Tom Feeley does not want to go public at this time. Well, you can't just say that you're being threatened and your life's being threatened and you fled your home and then say that you don't choose to put out more information at this time and to try to get the support that attention will bring you. This is the exact wrong response. Now, Information Clearinghouse people, writers who did put out the preliminary email yesterday saying that he had been threatened and went through some of the harassment of the last 4 years, culminating with armed men inside his home, that was the right move. But you don't basically become half pregnant here. You need to go all the way, come out, go public now. And also, I'm so tired of seeing the establishment pick on the liberals. Liberals are scared to death of guns. They're scared to death of men with guns. They're scared to death of confrontation. And they are the perfect targets for mafioso-style, probably private contractors. And this only invites intimidation. So I'm going to go over the report, then I'm going to break down what the proper response should be for everyone. History shows, common sense shows, and my personal experience validates history and common sense. Anti-war website operator threatened by armed thugs. Information Clearinghouse editor, victim of home invasions, warnings to stop what he is doing on the internet now. The operator of a leading alternative news and strongly anti-war website has become the target, and it is a large site, it's almost as big as InfoWars, nefarious thugs apparently in the employ of the U.S. government who have continually harassed him and ordered him to shut down his website. Tom Feeley, owner and editor of InformationClearinghouse.info, has endured public harassment, home invasions, death threats, and threats to his family simply for running a website. Counterpunch writer Mike Whitney, who knows him personally and who we just talked to during the break, has circulated an email describing what happened to Feeley in an attempt to draw attention to the matter. And we're working on getting Mr. Whitney on, coming up in about 20 minutes. Whitney writes that earlier this week, Feeley's wife was startled to suddenly discover three well-dressed men standing in her kitchen who told her that Tom must stop what he is doing on the internet now. And from my personal experience, yes, that's who they target. They target your wife or your woman. Just like the Secret Service did with Anthony Yasha at Genesis 2 weeks ago. They waited till he left and went and intimidated her, his fiance. Stop what he's doing on the internet now. To emphasize the point, the thug pulled back his jacket to reveal a gun while barking out the warning. Tom's wife was hysterical and refuses to go back to her house. She contacted the FBI but was told there was nothing they could do about it. Yeah, they use the FBI to harass people who aren't going along with Monsanto's orders. I mean, they even harass farmers. They use FBI to do that, and retired FBI and retired Royal Mounted Police in Canada. That's even come out in mainstream news. According to Whitney, the well-dressed man told Tom's wife that he knew where her son lived. That's same MO we've gotten. What line of work he is in and how many children he had. That is exactly how they threaten you. Subsequently, two men in a parked car a block from Tom's mother's house were spotted using laptops and sped off when they were approached by Tom's son. A similar incident had happened 4 years previous when Feeley was approached by a stranger in a parking lot of Long's drugstore in Southern California after being forced to remain in his car by an accomplice who blocked him from opening the car door. The man told him, "You need to stop what you're doing and are doing on the web." And this is exactly what happened to me twice, 10 years ago and then 9 years ago. So everything they're talking about here, minus people in my house. If that happens and you don't identify yourself as, quote, law enforcement with a warrant, you have got a big problem. I think you can put two plus two together. That's why they don't do stuff like that, though, here in Texas. I'm going to talk about that psychology a little bit later. Tom said the man was overweight and had his shirt untucked. Tom was taken aback by after collecting himself and said, "What the bleep? Why do you think you were telling me what I can do?" The man answered Tom, "Tom, I'm just giving you some good advice. You should take my advice, Tom." That is exactly what happened to me. Exactly what happened to me in one of the occasions. Alex Jones has experienced similar intimidation tactics on several occasions in the past, particularly in the scenario that happened to Tom in the parking lot, as well as thinly veiled vets against his family. Well, they've been more than thinly veiled vets. It's, "We're going to get your children if you don't shut up." I got a tough wife, folks. She knows. She's just got to set her jaw. But a lot of women aren't like that. A lot of men aren't like that. In every single instance, the best response is to stand up and be vocal in the face of such harassment. Mafia-like thugs only continue to feed on those who put up with such treatment. The most dangerous thing to do is to cower and acquiesce to the will of tyrants. That only invites more abuse, more intimidation, and attacks. These kinds of tactics will only succeed if the thug thinks their actions can have any effect on the target. Every time someone in our movement is intimidated or harassed, we should respond only by redoubling and intensifying our efforts. I'll tell you this about Tom Feely. He is not a BSer, writes Whitney. He is the real deal and completely committed to exposing the mob that is presently running our country. He does not understand why, as he says, they are reaching down so far to get someone who just runs a website. But the truth is, they are. Someone wants to shut him up, and they apparently have the muscle to do it. He knows he is in danger. Well, he's in danger because his wife's hysterical. Feely, that's like blood in the water to sharks. That's horrible. Feely is ditching his cell phone. Oh, that'll help you with the license plate reading cameras. Feely is ditching his cell phone and maintaining a low profile, but to his credit, refuses to cave into threats and will continue to publish his website. Drawing attention to Feely's situation is a paramount importance to ensure his protection and also to combat head-on the attempts to create a chilling atmosphere and intimidate journalists and website publishers. Okay, it's very simple. We don't know who these men were, and I believe the story. But I would probably venture a guess to say that they are contractors or former law enforcement. They may even be part of the Vikings, a subgroup of criminal police in Los Angeles. Or it could be flat-out FBI, though I don't think it's FBI. I don't think they're that reckless yet. But I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, the police tell you, the state legislatures have told you, the federal court rulings have stated that if a officer doesn't present ID and an officer tries to accost you, and it isn't an officer, that it is a false officer and you have the right and the duty to protect yourself. And federal and state courts have ruled that if police come in to your house without warrants and are engaging in violence, you have a right to defend yourself. Now, this is a basic. Mafia thugs come in your house, brandish firearms, you have a right to protect yourself. They have broken into your house. They are in your home. They are common criminals, whoever they are. And I am not somebody that calls for violence on this radio show. I'm not somebody who shoots my mouth off and like a lot of people do. But I have repeatedly warned people, do not come in my house. Do not come in my house. If the police come to my home with a warrant, that's another thing. But if armed thugs appear and break into my house, they are going to be met with lethal force. That is my right under the Constitution, under the Bill of Rights. That's what our forefathers fought and died for. That's what this country is all about. We are not a third world nation like Mexico or Guatemala or Indonesia, where armed thugs just have their way with a disarmed population. This is what the Second Amendment is all about. And I assure you, Mr. Feely, you were assessed. You've been profiled for many years. And they know. I bet when I get him on the air at some time, he'll admit he doesn't own guns. He's a big liberal. And they assessed you, sir, as somebody they could push around. And they assessed you to know that this that they would be able to have success against you and your family with this. Now, I have been through the fire and tested multiple times. I have been physically attacked by four guys in a parking lot, pounding me, started fighting back against them. They were shocked by it after I basically tore the nose off. He had cartilage hanging out the top of his nose. It didn't go into the brain. It was driven out at the top. After I tore his nose off with a vicious uppercut while the others were pounding me, I don't have really a fighting tactic. I just attack one at a time while swinging my elbow back. You know, I punch him with the fist and then just slash viciously like a wild animal, my elbow back crashing in. People start tackling me. I just start full force driving my knee into them, kickboxing. And within 30 seconds of engaging these thugs, they freaked out and drugged themselves to their minivan and sped away. Then I got visits of people blocking me in, parking their car in front of me in a parking lot. You get in, they pull in front of you. You get out and say, what's going on? They get out and say, hey, just want to make sure you're not playing anything violent, Alex. You're not going to try anything, are you? You know, we know how to deal with people like you. How's your family doing? Then we had the Travis County Sheriff's Department helicopter over my mother and father's 3 acres in town. My mother walks out there at treetop level, hang out and flip her off. Those thugs did that just because I was trying to block funding of them getting a new helicopter. So they were lying and saying it was for Starflight, and we had the documents, the $11 million German helicopter. The second one was, this came out in commissioner's court. So what did they do? They went and harassed my mother? I mean, it's just, you're criminals. This isn't Russia, this isn't China, this is the United States, where we have free speech zones miles away from public events, where the police tell us we don't have a First Amendment, where they're beginning to censor and shut down large areas of the web and filter out alternative websites, running random illegal checkpoints on our highways under federal funds, taking our blood at checkpoints. I mean, the tyranny is all around us and growing, and they're the federal government is massively expanding its spy network, its human intelligence networks, federalizing our cities. Meanwhile, a major website owner, editor, has men in his house threatening and brandishing guns at his wife. And remember Hoppy Heidelberg, the foreman of the Oklahoma City grand jury, who was trying to call witnesses about the other bombers, multiple bombs in the building. It was on all the newscasts. And the FBI did come to his house. He invited them in, and then they pulled back their jackets when he said he was going to keep asking questions and said, you better not, and pointed at their guns. So there are many documented cases of things like this going on, but these men did not identify themselves as FBI, though it sounds like in the latest case they were dressed similar to that. We now have the LA Times reporting and showing photos of Blackwater mercenaries raiding a medical marijuana facility. We know Blackwater was used in gun confiscations in New Orleans. That's now been confirmed by PBS with Israeli commandos, foreign troops. The government's hiring felons, aggravated felons, illegal aliens, and illegal alien felons to join the military. The Associated Press is reporting that police departments are now recruiting illegal aliens. You can't make things like this up. This is classical tyranny. And if we allow this to intimidate us, doesn't even scare me. It excites me. Lets me know we're getting close to the enemy. We're exposing them. They're having to resort to these tactics. It lets me know I'm right about everything about this criminal government, this illegitimate government. It just reinvigorates me, and just as if I need any more confirmation of how wicked our enemies are, this just confirms it further. All of this train of abuses, this train of tyranny and despotism. Now, look at classical mafia in this country. Take Italian communities. They would move here from Sicily and other areas ruled by government corruption for thousands of years. And would the Sicilian mafia in New York City and New Jersey and other states, other cities, would they go intimidate the British or the Irish or the German communities? No. Because if you went into a German shopkeeper's shop, or you went into somebody with the last name's Jones shop or Johnson shop, and you said, I'm going to take 10% of the money you make each week, and you're going to hire my cousin just to make sure that he's going to do the bookkeeping and make sure you're paying me, they would be physically attacked. They would be shot on the spot. There are a lot of historical cases of that. But in the Sicilian neighborhoods, they were totally accustomed to the black hand, squeezing them, sucking off of them, having their way with them. And so the people would acquiesce to it. And then those became centers of corruption. And then the corruption grew from there. And that's exactly what we're dealing with here today. They assess people. They test people. If I would have cowered years ago to death threats and phone calls and your little dog's in the backyard and I'm going to kill you and your little dog, things like that when my girlfriend was only my girlfriend, not my wife, and then now women calling my house saying I've gotten them pregnant, you know, made up phone calls and then calls threatening my family. If I was to give into that, folks, they would only intensify. But see, we don't give into that. We speak out about it. We scream bloody murder. We raise the alarm. We don't give in to intimidation. We don't give in and negotiate with terrorists. And look at how the government, the criminal government and its PR firms have terrorized the American people. They've told us, give up your liberty for security. The terrorists want your liberty, so give your liberty up. Give up all your freedom. Give up our way of life. Give up our Bill of Rights. Give up what has always made the United States special. There's your answer. They are the terrorists. And you look at the evidence, they're the ones that carried out the attacks. Those telling you, give up your liberty, let us run your lives, let us have trillions of dollars in no-bid contracts, let us engage in every corruption we want, let us run checkpoints and dress in black uniforms and put cameras up everywhere, and we'll keep you safe. No, we're not going to be safe. As a nation, we give in to this. My family's not going to be safe now if I back off or shut up. It's the opposite. I'm going to continue speaking on this important subject when we get back and read to you this email I got from one of the people in Information Clearinghouse that is very frustrating, to say the least. I'm Alex Jones. This is the GCN Radio Network. Ted Anderson isn't giving in to intimidation, getting his Secret Service visits. None of us are. Television and the dominant corporate media is there to scare you into submission to the police state, to their tyranny, to their fascism, or the terrorist will get you. Meanwhile, true terrorism is going on all over this country by Latin American paramilitary thugs. Police and military are being killed, kidnapped, and it's in the back of the paper, if it's even reported on. So I don't want to hear from the goons out there that you're out there intimidating people because we're anti-American and you're trying to save the country. You and I and everybody else know that's a fraud, and you're psychopaths who get off on this. And I'll tell people in law enforcement who are no longer peace officers, federal, state, and local, do not be part of crime. Do not be part of terrorism against the people. Do not be part of the secret police. At least say no. Back out of it. Don't follow these criminal orders. Don't be part of this corruption. And to the offshore, foreign-owned mercenary companies operating in our nation, shame on you, military men. But a lot of you are foreigners now. But still, shame on you. They've hired thousands of Latin American death squad operatives. We reported on that 3 years before it was mainstream news. Now it's been admitted for 2 years to be used in Iraq. Latin American death squads in Iraq. They're now exporting death squads, Las Zetas, Mexican paramilitaries, killing people from Chicago to Indianapolis, Indiana, to Dallas, Texas, to San Antonio, Texas, Austin, Texas. It's just amazing the things that are already going on and happening. And don't think for a minute I think that I'm bulletproof or that I'm invincible or I'm tough stuff or that I'm saying bring it on. You are the ones bringing it on. You are the ones that have us cornered. We don't have anywhere to go. This is our country. You're destroying our dollar, destroying our name, destroying our treasury, turning our schools into prisons, brainwashing our children, drugging the population, shipping in deadly narcotics all over our streets. And you just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. I wasn't one-tenth as radical as I am now. Back in the late 90s when I was physically attacked and threatened and was stalked and had all sorts of other things happen. And that let me know just how real it was. I was talking about tame issues compared to this, and they came and tried to intimidate me. I am not about to discredit my family name and who my ancestors are. We do not come from shrieking violence. We do not come from people. We do not descend from individuals that were cowards and would let people tell them what they could say or what they could do or what they could write, what they could broadcast. That is not what the United States is about. That is not what the red, white, and blue stands for. I don't care if you try to expropriate it and wrap it around fascism and expropriate our sacred symbols. And a lot of you out there, I'm a big fish in this. And look, I'm still alive. People talk about me as the canary in the coal mine, and frankly, I am. Other canaries in the coal mine have dropped, have died. People like Bill Cooper, who they could set up and harass week after week, driving on his property, making noise, getting him to come outside, and then they gunned him down. I don't have any illusions. About my safety, my security. I am committed to this. I have turned my life over to the cause of liberty, whatever the case may be. Now, I try to not be a hothead. I try to not let them set me up. I mean, I remember right when we released Terror Storm, I went and had a video signing at Book People in Austin, Texas, the biggest independent bookstore in Texas. And there were about 250 people showed up for it. And I'd been getting death threats all week long. Vicious death threats. And so I called a police officer I know, who's also was in the Special Forces, friend of mine, and I said, well, you're going to be off duty. Can you come to the event? Sicilian Italians who have still been cowed from the old country, and if we laid out of the corruption, it will grow. It will set in, and then it will expand. Just like the Asian triad mafia gangs. Do they go into the black-owned or the wasp-owned? Do they go into the Americana stores? No. They go into the Chinatowns and they shake down the shopkeepers and the people there. The Mexican gangs, who do they shake down? They shake down other Mexicans who aren't citizens and who are accustomed to being shaken down for mordido or the little bite, the beak dipping, the payoffs. But now more and more reports come out in Texas and California where the police are demanding money on the side of the road. See, we're becoming like Mexico or like Sicily or Malaysia. We come from hardworking, strong individuals that would have violently lashed out at anyone who tried to oppress them or enslave them. The people that came to this nation were individuals leaving tyranny, and they were coming here to fight, to carve out a place where they could at least live in some dignity and honor. If you insulted a man of the West just 200 years ago, you would be in the street having a duel with a saber or a musket. And it's that attitude that kept corruption at bay. Didn't mean it didn't exist, but it hid out. It was under the table. It was paranoid. It was sneaky. Not out in the open, roaring, arrogantly, trying to intimidate the entire mass into submission. And that's why you don't have, or didn't have, mafia in Texas, in Georgia, in West Virginia, in Colorado, in Arizona, in Montana, in Wyoming, in places like that, because if somebody walked in, I mean, I know both my grandfathers. You know, they were kind of the last of that top generation. If somebody, I remember hearing of a few similar cases just where somebody tried to threaten them or demand something from them, and then they would just physically go after them. And there wasn't even any thinking about it. You come in and demand something. You come in as a mafia thug. I mean, if a mafia thug walked into my office and walked right in here and brandished a firearm, I would reach right underneath my desk and I would open fire on their center of mass until I unloaded the firearm. And then I'd call 911. And that's radical? That is bravado? That's, ooh, Alex, tough guy. No. That is an instinct of liberty. That is an instinct of a man. Leave me alone. That's why the old flag was the rattlesnake. Don't tread on me. One of the Revolutionary War militia flags. It meant, leave me alone. I'm curled up right here. Get out of my way. I don't belong to you. You see the tail. You see the rattles. You hear that. Back off. We're going to have our websites. We're going to write our news stories when it comes out that Dick Cheney was planning to dress up Navy SEALs in fake Iranian patrol boats and attack our own ships, and it's mainstream news. We're going to put it out and make sure it gets covered by bigger outlets. We're going to magnify it. That's what we are, is an amplifier. Big old amplifier. Big old megaphone. And you know what? You can do whatever you're going to do. You don't think I don't know they have hitmen on every major force? You don't think I don't know they could send some of their Austin hitmen? I know they got hitmen on even on the Austin force. You don't think I don't know? I mean, they kill CIA guys. They kill whoever they want all the time. You don't think I don't know you can't pull me over and then plant a gun on me, shoot me a couple times in the head? It could even be on video and nobody gets in trouble. I know. I'm committed. You don't think I don't know that you can poison me or do 100 other things? Just understand, I'm committed. Understand, you kill me, my message only gets bigger. You think it's amplified now. And they don't like that. These thugs don't like that with people that are committed. And I'll tell you something, too. In the past, if thugs or carpetbaggers, when they did come into the South, and this happened after the Civil War, they tried to come in and oppress and enslave people. And you know what would happen? They might corner a family, rape the women, kill them. They might burn down a farm. But it might be a year later. It might be 2 years later. It might be 3 years later. The captains of those operations might be living in a whole other state. A lot of famous cases of this, and he's in there saddling up his horse one morning to ride into town, and you hear a gun cock behind you, and you turn around, and you know why I'm here. You know what you did to my cousin. Get on your knees. I'm going to blow your head off right now. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that the crimes that are being committed against innocent, decent people are going to be avenged. And if I'm killed, you better believe that it's going to be avenged. And that's why they want their cashless society tracking grid to measure and track and know everybody's at it every time and to, with pre-crime, try to predict what you're going to do. And now they're setting precedents to arrest you because they know they're going to commit incredible crimes and they know history and they know there's going to be resistance to it and they know this is an armed country. So it's an important message to tyranny, unless you want to live in a mafia amusement park where you're the amusement and they're in there having fun with you. Unless you want to live under that type of oppression and evil, you'd better grow a pair right now. I got this. I have several emails here. I don't think I printed off the latest one. Yeah, here's the latest one. From Information Clearinghouse. Sorry, Trey, but Tom doesn't want to talk about this at all. Why'd you put out an alert email? Okay? Don't expect us that just because you did the right thing and put out a thing asking for help, that now you've been taken over by fear, and so we're supposed to just stand down and let wolves have their way. No. Sorry, Trey, but Tom doesn't want to talk about this at all. So I can't do the show. I'm sure you understand. No, I don't understand. But his wife must be totally beside herself. Well, if you give in to the fear, they're going to keep intimidating and she'll really be beside herself. Sorry, Trey, but Tom doesn't want this talked about at all. Well, I'm sorry. You already talked about it. You already let it out. So I can't do the show. I'm sure you understand that his wife must be totally beside herself, as most people would be. Besides, there's no verification. So he puts this out. He calls for help. And then you're saying, Tom doesn't want this talked about at all. Let's just forget about it all. When the story he tells is exactly what I've witnessed over and over again. This is the same MO. I believe this because I've lived it and others I know have lived it. I mean, Kurt Nemo's had all sorts of incredible death threats and things that go on and on. We all get it. And I don't just mean some email. I hope you will honor his wishes and not discuss it. Oh, yeah, after the emails all over the web. Now, here was the one before that. Hi, Trey. I go to InfoWars almost every day and have always had a lot of respect for Alex Jones and Kurt Nemo. I still remember when some nutball was threatening to kill Kurt and one of the editors at Dissident Voice. This information about Tom is very sensitive and does not want to go public with it. This is the email I'm sending out to people who I am connected, who I contacted yesterday. Tom Feely has not notified me, and told me that his family does not want to go public with the info I passed on yesterday. Hey, you did the right thing. This is Joan Whitney. You did the right thing, Joan Whitney. So don't feel bad. I mean, that horse already left the barn. I'll let you know about any developments unless I'm told to keep them secret. Nothing that I have told you, and it goes on. I'm just going to wait for instructions and hope that the whole thing is just a bluff. Men inside of the house threatening his wife with firearms is just a bluff. And again, hey, fine, you want the wolves to sit there and chew you up and intimidate you, fine. But that's bad advice for everybody else. That's not how you behave. That's not how you operate. It only gets worse. Now, let me tell you what would happen if I walked into my kitchen and there were four guys standing there. I would say, who are you? What are you doing here? And they started their little mafioso confidence thing of, now you just sit down and you be quiet. You listen to us. I would say, I'm going to count to three, and you better tell me who you are and identify yourself right now. They didn't identify themselves. Let's just say I wasn't armed and didn't know they were there. Let's say it was in my kitchen. I would move forward calmly, grab a giant butcher knife, and with total savage hatred, drive it to the hilt right into the first person's stomach. So let me tell you something. Let me tell the mafia thugs, don't come around my house. I don't care if you blow me away in my own home. I'm going to come after you. You understand? I'm going to come after you. I'm going to attack you, and you're not going to like it. I assure you. You know, fight is really the ultimate form of flight. You know that energy when you're running from something, how much energy you got? Well, that's all fighting is. I run at you. I attack with everything I've got. Because I will not give in to fear, ladies and gentlemen. I will make you fear. You are despicable, cold-hearted, degenerate, America-murdering criminals to come in a house and threaten an anti-war website, threaten a woman. And you do that because you're cowardly pieces of crap who know that woman is going to get hysterical 9 times out of 10 and go to her man and demand he stop what he's doing. Who are we? Are we Americans? Are we free men and women? Or are we going to give in to a mafia takeover of this country? Is that who we are? Is that what we've turned into? We let people intimidate us not to write, not to speak, not to stand up, not to be involved? Is that what America is? Is keeping your mouth shut and going quietly into the night while the country's looted 7 ways to Sunday? No, we all have to speak out. We have to be more bold than ever. We have to be more aggressive than ever. That's what we've got to do. Take some of your phone calls on this subject. Then Ray McGovern's coming up. I'm going to get his take on what he would do to intimidation like this. This is the GCN Radio Network. Let me tell you how you also counter these people. You make more copies of DVDs. You spread more information about websites. You, all of you, need to get more active now. There isn't time. Bottom line, when you cower like third world slaves, you will be abused.
I was sitting in traffic, listening to the
When you
radio.
Stand up like our forebears with strength and honor,
George Strait was singing.
Thugs disappear like phantoms at dawn.
It sounded so good.
And yes, for those out there doubting the tyranny you've never experienced it, I have personally experienced it. I know how real it is. I mean, I go to the Bilderberg Group and Bullhorn world government meetings to the point of where the head of the CFR comes out and gives me vicious, dirty looks, and with secret police following us around in clown masks to try to freak us out like John Wayne Gacy. I'm committed. It's in God's hands. So you stop thinking you're in danger out there. Yes, you'll be tested if you get prominent, but that's what life's all about. The real heroes are people that have alternative websites and expose tyranny and investigative journalists who go through the fire. It isn't Brett Favre. It isn't baseball or football or basketball. The real heroes are the people fighting for our liberty as darkness falls on this nation. And don't think it's a light at the end of the tunnel, George Bush about to leave office. It's only going to get worse. Because as time goes on, this intensifies. Zach in New York, you're on the air. Come on, Zach. Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, now here I am. Okay. Understanding what you're describing, psychologically as a concept is one thing, but what I think what you're talking about is having the right attitude, and that is a much bigger thing. Because I grew up, doing the Pledge of Allegiance and having the DARE officer come and tell me about stuff. And, I understand what you're saying, and I know it's true, and I believe it, but internalizing that and having that be my personal perspective, I still...
Well, you know what I get by the email they put out and by talking to them behind the scenes, and what I get from many others is, now just men not identifying themselves with guns is authority, and so now it might be guys robbing a bank. Maybe when cops show up at a bank robbery, if the guys are wearing suits robbing the bank, maybe the cops will salute them. It's just, don't know who you are. You're threatening a woman in her house. It's the authority. We better just give in to it. I mean, we're that dumbed down. We just lay down to anybody with a gun now.
Well, if you remember Apollo 13, there's a conversation going on. He says, this is the greatest disaster in NASA's history. And then... Ed Harris turns around and he says, with all due respect, sir, I believe this is our finest hour. And I think the worst things get, it's kind of like, I have a friend who's a major alcoholic, and when he was doing his thing, I'm not going to annoy him and say you should stop. It's just a process that has to see its way through, and in the end, either you'll crash through or you'll bounce back. And I think it is going to be very awful, and it's going to be very painful, but in the end, we're going to be better for it, and it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful future. And
well, I hope you're right. I've also had a couple friends die when they're like 25, 30 years old because people said, oh, they'll get over being alcoholics, and then it fried their liver and they died.
Well, I'm trying to have the right attitude myself, and I'm trying to just to maintain even, going day to day, it can be very frustrating having all this nonsense go on and having this on my mind.
No, I hear you, but we need to have it on our mind. We need to deal with it. I agree. Think positive, but act to be the change you want to see in the world. Don't stop. And you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of these thugs coming around me again. I mean, I've already physically attacked them once when they attacked me. I mean, I'm not afraid of them coming. I'm not afraid of them. I'm afraid of... what'll happen? I mean, I'm not a tough guy. I'm just a man, folks, and I've got my instincts in line, and I'm vicious. And people better just stay the hell away from me. Well, they better come up behind me when they do it, because I've had enough of their garbage.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Brett McGovern's coming up in the next segment. Right now, I'm taking calls about death threats, men harassing people at their homes, coming into their homes. Probably contractors, probably just mafia contracted. And how we have to stand up against this and speak out against it and not go along with it. Elliot in Ohio, then Reb, John, Kurt, and others. Go ahead, Elliot.
Hey, Alex, I got a story that supports your argument. My oldest cousin, his best friend, he studied law for 3 years. He didn't get his license. He didn't want it. He just wanted to be knowledgeable so that he could combat all this tyranny. And it was amazing. I was sitting down with him, you know, him, me, and my cousin. You know, we were talking about something that happened to Daryl, like, you know, it happened like a year ago. He was coming home from a bar. He was walking, and he's gotten a lot of bad vibes from the cops, being that every time they try to take him to court, he always wins. You know, he uses his constitutional rights, fights it, and always wins. Now, Fairfax cops, Fairfax County in Cincinnati, they hate him, absolutely hate him. He's blacklisted, always try to harass him. He's walking back from the bar. They stop him. They're like, "Okay, Daryl, you're drunk in public. We're gonna write you a ticket." Daryl's like, "No, you're not. You're gonna get back in your car, and I'm gonna go walk to my house, and that's gonna be that." And he sees them. As soon as he starts walking, he sees them reach for his gun. He lunges at them, takes the gun from the officer, makes his partner and him get on the sidewalk and stay there. And there was witnesses right outside the bar seeing all this.
Wait a minute. Isn't he a listener to this show? Because it came out, another listener did that in Idaho. The same
really?
Thing happened. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, so he gets them on the sidewalk, a Marymount cop, which is where he was at. He wasn't even in Fairfax. I mean, Fairfax and Marymount, they butt up right against to each other. Marymount cop comes by, you know, he flashes his gun. "You better drop your gun right now or I'm going to shoot you." It's like, "No, these people just tried to kill me, and I got plenty of witnesses to back up the case." And sure enough, takes these two cops to court, wins, and gets two apology letters, gets them suspended for 2 weeks.
That's all?
Yeah, that was all. I mean, you can't really do too much, but
send me a news article on that, because I saw it. That happened in the, with another one of our listeners, but then they charged him later. Just amazing. And I want the dumb cops to know something. Do you think in a government, in a country where you're allowed to act like this, that you're safe, that the people running you aren't going to take your pension funds, aren't going to do other bad things? You know, crime affects everybody.
Yep.
And a government going rogue affects everybody. This is bad. When you've got secret police or contractors showing up in people's houses, threatening their wives, and not saying who they are, I mean, the country's going, you know, saying don't have your anti-war website anymore. The country's going to hell in a handbasket. I hear you, and I appreciate your call. Let's take another one here. Let's talk to Reb in Colorado.
Yeah, I'm here, and we had a home invasion, a hostage taken, a witness tampering occurred with our residents, one of
Speak
our
up.
Residents. There's three of us, and what happened, the Lakewood, Colorado PD and Jefferson County PD broke in, and they put a gun to their head and pushed their head forward to sign things, and then they told them words I can't say over the
Need you
air.
To speak up.
Yeah, okay. So that's what happened. And then all of a sudden, they didn't stop coming back because, like I said, they wouldn't sign things. So they decided to stand in front of them on the couch with guns out, and they'd go around in their little residence there. Nobody knew what they were doing.
Well, you know, that's come out in Austin news to get a yogurt shop confession. They put a gun to his head on video, and then police said that's a good thing. And then it's come out all over the country where they beat people up and the person records it or put guns to their head and say, sign it. And yeah, that's America. It's mafia run. It's a mafia culture. All the police aren't corrupt, but rapidly they're being removed. Aggravated felons are being put in. I mean, the government's hiring criminals. I mean, it's in the news. It's completely going rogue. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
implications are Israel is still intending to strike Iran sometime before or after the election in the next 3 or 4 months. And former White House briefer to Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., top-level CIA analyst, Army officer, is our guest, and we really appreciate him giving us so much time the last few months. He's also battling melanoma, but we're told it's going well, so thank God for that. Ray McGovern needs your prayers. He's a great guy. He's spoken out for 9/11 Truth, calling for an investigation. I want to get into Cy Hirsch, who, by the way, we did talk to Cy Hirsch. I'm just going to leave it at that. Look for him soon on the show. And breaking news, I'm going to leave it at that, because that's what he asked us to do. But he'll be here soon. 12 targets that Dick Cheney wanted to attack. The one he released at a journalism conference 2 weeks ago, finally hit YouTube last week. We grabbed it, shoved it out big time. Two nights later, because of you, the listeners, I said, get this out to everybody, email it to all news agencies, call them. Keith Olbermann did cover it last Friday night. So it's been on MSNBC that they were planning to create fake Iranian patrol boats and have a, quote, shootout between the Navy SEALs and a major ship, a major naval ship. This is unbelievable. And somehow Dick Cheney was overruled. Cy Hirsch will not say yet because he doesn't want to give up his source. If he says too much, they can pinpoint who it was in the meeting or which meeting it was. But he says he's got a new report coming out in the next month and a half. I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want to bring out too much here, but we're going to get Ray McGovern's take on that as well because he's been warning for 3 years of a staged Gulf of Tonkin. So has Ron Paul. These guys have got good political minds to be able to, I mean, I was saying another false flag here domestically or something in Israel, and they're going, no, it'll be something with ships. That's what we think. And then that's what it's turning out to be. They tried something a few months ago, as you know, with the fake radio transmissions. But Mr. McGovern, let's get into that a little bit later. First off, Information Clearinghouse, very credible. I've been talking to some of the Counterpunch writers. They've confirmed this did go on, but the editor and owner doesn't want it talked about now. His wife is beside herself. She came in the kitchen. Four armed guys brandished guns and suits and said, we're not going to tell you who we are, but we know who your kids are, and you and your family better just shut up and stop having this anti-war site. It's one of the largest sites. It's not as big as ours, but close. It's in the top 10. And that happened. I have been physically attacked before. I've had death threats. They just started up a few months ago when I went to Bilderberg and bullhorned that and had Richard N. Haas come out and turn red staring at me from 20 feet away because there was one area where we could bullhorn into their main meeting hall. And then women calling my house, telling my wife, is Alex there? Well, no, I'm his. Who is it? I'll give a message. Well, who is this? Oh, I'm his wife. Well, that's impossible. We're getting married. I'm pregnant. Of course, it's totally made up. I'm not out there being promiscuous. It's a total lie. So the classic stuff and also threats against my family. I don't even want to dignify them putting them out. Ray McGovern, you've seen all this before. You've seen this in third world countries. You know the Soviets did stuff like this. The mafia does things like this. Your take on it?
Well, I think mafia is the right word. The institutions of our country have been so corrupted that this kind of thing goes on, and the FBI, as it told Tom's wife, it just can't do anything about it. Well, right. You know, this whole business, it really stinks to high heaven. And Tom Feely, I know, he publishes my stuff together with other websites, and he's the real deal. And when he talks about this, you can take it on faith that he's telling the truth. So here you have a rather rude interruption of his family and himself, and a dire warning. Stop publishing this stuff on your website or else. Couldn't be worse. What I'm thinking about when I talk about institutions is also an institution that I served proudly in, and the U.S. Army. And what said it all to me, Alex, was this. When Cy Hirsch was doing one of his exposés on what happened at Abu Ghraib, he pointed out that General Taguba was the only one to do an honest investigation, and he did the first one. You know what happened to him? He ended up in a limousine with General Abizaid, who was CENTCOM commander at the time, in Kuwait. And they're sitting there, and Abizaid turns to Taguba, and he says, you know, your investigation is being investigated itself, and you know what, General Taguba? So are you being investigated. And Taguba turns to Seymour Hirsch, and he says, it was then and only then that I realized that after 33 years serving in this army, it was no longer the U.S. Army. It was the mafia. That's what we've got. And we got a bunch of hoods descending upon a very reputable website runner. You've got that. You've got the mafia. And if we can't get the FBI to investigate this or the local police, you know, I don't know what we can do.
It sets a precedent, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
It sets a precedent. Now, we know, speaking of Army, they're using a lot of Army intelligence to spy on peace groups, to harass people, to provocateur. What would you say to those men who they have twisted into doing this? I mean, how are they brainwashing them to go commit these type of crimes?
Well, you have to remind them what they swore allegiance to. And it was not the President of the United States. It was the Constitution. And, you know, some of them will learn this for the first time. But when they do learn it, and when they know that there's a law against precisely this, the U.S. Army is not supposed to be exercising domestic law enforcement functions. It's against the Posse Comitatus Act.
Much less mafia intimidation. I mean, assessing this, continue.
Yeah, well, I'm just suggesting that when you see one of these young folks, you know, out there, maybe in Denver or wherever they are now, you need to go up and approach them and say, look, son or brother, or, you know, do you realize that you don't have to obey unlawful orders? And if you are doing domestic surveillance here, the law says you shouldn't be doing that. And just saying that you were ordered to do it is not going to suffice if all this is brought into a court of law.
What would Ray McGovern do if, man, obviously they wouldn't do it to you, they'd do it to your wife, or they'd assess her, and she's probably tough like you, so it wouldn't work. But, I mean, what would you do if you walked into the kitchen and four guys brandished guns and said, stop talking, Ray McGovern, shut up?
That's a good question. I guess I'd say, who are you?
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. And if they weren't able to show me identification, I'd tell them to get out of my house. If they didn't do that, I suppose I'd quickly exit the house myself, lock the door from the outside, and get on to 9/11 or whatever it might be in hopes that they could be apprehended before they left. I'm too old to worry about being shot. I think what's being shot here is the Constitution of the United States. And if they shot me and that had a salutary effect in apprehending and stopping this kind of stuff, then I would consider that was a shot worth taking.
Well, if you've got unidentified thugs in your house brandishing weapons on your wife, I'm going to do something else.
You're going to get out your own weapon.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, absolutely, and I'm not looking for trouble. I mean, I've been around the block. I'm not here, you know, acting tough. It's all right. I mean, what do you do when you catch a burglar and you're safe at your house? I mean.
Yeah. We have five kids, so we don't have any money, and that's very apparent from the looks of our house, so we feel rather safe from that point of view.
Well, my point is that I'm sure they assessed this guy as a liberal who isn't a gun owner and thought they could do it. I mean, I guarantee you that a lot of people I know, it would not have gone well, Ray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would not have gone well.
Yeah. Well, we'll
I mean, I can't control myself. I'm not like you, Ray, you know, who's got all this self-control. Somebody comes in my house threatening my family, I think I'd lose control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if kids were there or something like that, it would have been a little different.
Yeah, what would you do if your children were in the next room?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I have to figure that out.
Yeah, I think I've got an idea what you do, Ray.
But I think what we need to do here is to raise such a hue and cry that the whole country is sensitized to the fact that this can happen. And, you know, if all that's necessary is the president can call you an enemy combatant and they put you in jail forever, those kinds of things really need to be highlighted. American people need to be sensitized to that kind of situation.
Ray, 20 years ago, could you have ever imagined that they would have mafia goons running around? I mean, I guess it's happened before, but at this level, and again, I wonder, how did they assess and profile individuals of this low caliber to go out and threaten women?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Alex, and I think you probably appreciate this better than most, true information is really the Achilles heel of this whole mafia crowd. And Tom Feely has done yeoman service in putting out his almost daily publication, The Information Clearinghouse, where he collects articles from the likes of you and me and others And it's quite an assortment. If you go through that every day, you are well informed in a way that you could never hope to be informed by watching TV or reading what's left of our newspaper.
So they don't like that intelligence briefing he's providing?
No, he's very dangerous. He's the most dangerous of people because he's spreading truth around. And, you know, that's... If you spread enough truth around and people become educated, and we've not reached that point yet, but when the Internet can be used to do this and people stop watching Fox News at night and just learn the few buttons they have to click to find out what's on Information Clearinghouse, then this regime is doomed, and Cheney and Bush are on their way to The Hague to be prosecuted as war criminals, which is what they are.
They've got to be desperate. I mean, it's similar things have happened to me, but they've got to be desperate to think that in threatening people's women is going to help them.
Yeah, well, you know what they've probably done is hired some sort of private detective firm to do the necessary without any strict guidelines.
That's what I said, contractors. I assessed it in the last hour. It's probably contractors. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they contract this stuff out so that nobody's caught with an FBI badge inside a house like this. And, you know, they give them vague instructions, do what's necessary, and then you have these kinds of threats against wives, against children, against sons, and that's how this thing is played. Oh, you know, they told Tom's wife that they knew where her son lived and how many children he has and all this kind of stuff. Just the worst of the worst.
It is the worst of the worst. Ray, does it make your blood boil, or is it more just an icy determination?
Well, it's both. I'm Irish, so my blood does boil rather quickly, but I'm determined, as you are, I'm sure, to expose this thing and stop it.
Ray McGovern, stay there. We'll get into the big board, what's happening with Iran and false staged events on the other side. Stay with us. Talking to Ray during the break, he agrees that the Information Clearinghouse needs to speak out and make a big noise about this. The poor fellow's wife is wanting him to shut up. That is not what you do. But we'll end that discussion here. Ray McGovern, the Cy Hirsch info about Cheney wanting to attack a dozen targets, a dozen provocations. He would only mention one, the fake patrol boats manufactured in U.S. naval shipyards to be peopled with heavily armed Navy SEALs in a, quote, shootout with larger naval vessels. This is just huge.
Yeah, I can see them brainstorming this. Matter of fact, it's not necessary to construct five PT boats in an American shipyard and somehow insinuate them into the Gulf. The Israelis are far better at this, and my guess is that if a shooting war starts, it will start with a provocation of that kind, where Israel will slip a little PT boat into the Gulf, painted in Iranian colors with a big Iranian flag, and sink one of our destroyer escorts, and then it will be on.
And that would be remote control, and they would claim suicide bombers were on board?
Sure, any way they could do it. They could even fake intercepted communications. It's really very, very dire in that the Gulf. It's chock full of ships. And once this starts, Iranians are hardly like the Iraqis. We're going to lose a lot of ships and a lot of men. The straits will be closed. We'll all go bankrupt. It's really, I can't conceive of a stupider idea. And yet, if you look at the people running things, and it's still Cheney and Elliot Abrams, the neocon who is responsible for so much of this, the fellow in the White House who's running our Middle East policy, this is really a major threat. And so a provocation is probably the way this is going to start. And you talked about false flag before, Alex. Well, we know that the president himself, I'm talking about George W. Bush, proposed a false flag arrangement to the British on the 31st of January, 2003. He was getting a little bit irritated at the fact that no weapons of mass destruction had been found, and I'm sure he realized that the intelligence people had taken his wishes at heart and constructed evidence where there was no real evidence of weapons of mass destruction. And so he said to Tony Blair, and we have this in a British memcon, I mean, you know, the British have not disavowed this. He said to Tony Blair, three things we could do now. One would be to paint a U-2 spy plane with UN colors and fly it over, you know, over the border, well past the no-fly zone, and have Saddam Hussein take some shots at it, and that would be reason for war, you know. That's what we can do. Well, there's a false flag operation. It never got off the ground, but the other two things he had in mind were, you know, finding, in quotes, a defector who would talk about all these weapons of mass destruction, and the other one was simply assassinating Saddam Hussein. So, you know, it's not surprising at all that the vice president in particular would be talking about a dozen such schemes, the more so since we also know that there was a plan to insert a bunch of Iraqis into one part of Iraq before the war, have them shoot up some folks in some police stations, have the Iraqi army come in and try to do battle with them. They will, meanwhile, have declared a free Iraq and northwestern Iraq, and we would come to their defense. That was another sort of false flag or provocation that was planned. That didn't get off the ground either. So these folks think in mafia terms. They think in the same terms. You know, this sounds harsh, but it's just factual. This is exactly what Hitler did before invading Poland. You know the story about dressing up some stormtroopers in Polish uniforms?
Gliwice.
Yeah, having them you know, shoot up a radio station or whatever it was, and that was the casus belli then. And you know what, Alex? The worst thing is most Germans believed. Most Germans wanted to believe what Hitler was saying. What was necessary? Why? Because Poland was a threat. Now, you know, that's as far-fetched as saying Iran is a threat to the United States.
Well, it just came out 2 days ago in mainstream news, but got almost no attention. These incredible things come out that Cheney ordered the CIA to create fake weapons information on Iraq.
Yeah, that's out of Ron Susskind's book. And Ron is as well plugged in Washington as Cy Hirsch, and that's saying a lot. Ron's already written two books, one on the Secretary of the Treasury, Walsh's, or O'Neill was his name, Paul O'Neill, his experience as Secretary of the Treasury, and then the other one was the 1% Doctrine, How Does Dick Cheney Come at the World?
Stay there. Quick break, long segment coming up with Ray McGovern, opening the phones up at 1-800-259-9231. We'll look at this latest announcement by Israel, mulling military option for Iran nukes. That misleading headline implies they have nuclear weapons. Stay with us. I want to be clear. I'm not looking for a fight here. Ray McGovern's not looking for a fight. Secret police, goons, thugs, army intelligence, hired mercenaries, L.A. Times, with photos of people dressed in Blackwater uniforms raiding medical marijuana facilities, Blackwater confiscating guns in New Orleans, and now documented on PBS, of all places. Israeli commandos were used, according to PBS, and the new special Bill Moyers came out of retirement to do, running around gun confiscating. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Hiring former Latin American death squads to be used in Iraq, hiring aggravated felons for the military. I mean, these are all the classic things that Hitler and Stalin and every other thug did. And I want to get into the latest developments with Iran with Ray McGovern and then take your calls and then talk about whatever subjects he thinks are most important. I've been kind of dominating discussion here, or at least the points that are being brought up. But getting back to the police state, Ray, I just in my heart of hearts know that the American people are still good enough and not so distracted by mainstream television and media that's there to put them to sleep to realize this is classical tyranny. But sometimes, even knowing as much as I know about the world and studying this 16, 17 hours a day, I find it kind of just overwhelming sometimes, almost like sticker shock by the level of the tyranny, where it's hard for me to believe this is happening, but it really is. Do you ever, you know, studying other countries and other tyrannies, does it ever just hit you and shock you?
Well, it does indeed. You know, I watched the Soviet Union for 30 years, and a lot of this stuff is, including the propaganda, Alex, it's exactly what I saw doing that, watching the Soviet Union. You know, the biggest sea change that I've observed in my 45 years in Washington is the fact that we no longer have, in any real sense, a free media. And that's big. That is very big. We no longer have the kind of press or media that we had during Watergate or during Vietnam or or since. And this makes it all the more urgent for people like you and me to find ways to push the word out, because the American people are deprived of all this. How many newspapers are going to run the story on Tom Feely tomorrow? Zippo, you know, maybe one, maybe a McClatchy little report will. But if you read the newspapers, you don't get it. If you watch television, you don't get it. If you listen to Prison Planet, other places like this, or you read Tom Feely's website, then you do get it. The only problem is, how do we get enough people sensitized to the fact that if you have a computer, it's real, real simple to spend 15 minutes a day pressing a couple of buttons so that you get informed. And I think, you know, once neighbors start getting wrapped up, as Tom or his wife almost was yesterday, the word will get around and people will seek ways to become informed.
Is it a good indicator, I mean, making lemonade out of lemons here, that they are having to resort to these type of tactics with a lot of other writers and people I know that continue steadfastly but don't want to talk about the things that have happened? I mean, to me, it's horrible this is happening, but they wouldn't be doing this if we weren't hurting them.
Well, that gets back to our point before, the one we were both making, and that is that the truth is what's going to get these guys. The truth, very literally, as the Bible says, is what will keep us free. So once you get a fellow like Tom Feely, and, you know, Feely is fearless. You know, he'll publish this story about Cheney. He'll publish anything that makes sense and can be documented. And that is very, very fearful for the people running this country, because the one thing the mafia doesn't need is exposure.
I've talked to a lot of other analysts, but I want to get your expert take on this, that the establishment is fighting the 1960s or 1950s war with that technology, and that they thought they were secure because they'd bought up all the mainstream media and consolidated that, and that they kind of just poo-pooed the power of the alternative press. But now they had underestimated its power. They're just now starting to realize its power. And by then, the genie's out of the bottle. I mean, the information we're bringing out here is becoming a larger and larger minority, beginning to verge on majority, and that they're playing four or five steps behind.
Well, I think that's part of it. I think that's why they want to make a sort of an object lesson that, look, you continue this kind of thing, you can end up like Mrs. Feely or like Tom and have your place invaded by some contract quasi-coppers, and they'll have guns under their lapels, and they'll threaten the heck out of you. And so be scared. Be scared. Don't think you can do this with impunity. I do think it's a good education of how defensive they are and how much they want to intimidate people from spreading truth around.
No, well, it's having the opposite effect, and that's what concerns me. I don't have the illusion that the elite is invincible and has all the answers and never makes mistakes. So much of the public, you know, tends to think that, but really, you've worked in and around these people before it was this corrupt. You know they're just people as well, and that's what's even more scary. In a way, it would be more assuring if they knew what they were doing and didn't make mistakes and you know, were evil, but at least somehow were in control. I mean, that's just a basic psychology there. It's bad, but it's not as bad as they think they're in control, but they're not. It seems like as you degrade a military and an intelligence network and turn the Cold War apparatus on the people, that the good guys are going to leave and say no and start fighting you, like you and so many others, and people I know in intelligence who are retired who aren't public, you know, they're all shaking their heads for years seeing what's happening. So it seems to me like it's a brain drain. They don't have that many quality people anymore, and all they've got is a bunch of thugs.
Well, that's right, and that's why you have people like my former colleagues in the CIA who are coming out now and telling people like Ron Suskind, who wrote this book, about what they were asked to do earlier on, how they were asked to forge, now get this, to forge a letter which purported to show that Mohammed Atta, who, you know, led the hijackers, that he did his training in Iraq. In other words, Cheney very much wanted to prove that Iraq was responsible for 9/11, or at least to train the people who did 9/11, okay? The link between Hussein and 9/11 was one of the things that sold the war, let's face it. They even tried to connect the Hussein with the anthrax stuff. It's very, very clear. It was all scare tactic. Now, when you have Cheney doing these kinds of things, it's really incumbent upon the rest of us to expose them, and my friends in the CIA have exposed that. Now, what will happen? Well, Susskind's book hasn't got much play at all in the mainstream media so far, but if we keep pressing, you know, if we say, you know, it's not quite right to have a letter that is backdated to 2001, okay, before the 9/11, which says that Hussein and his Iraqi friends were training Mohammed Atta, it's not quite right to have that surface in the Western press after it had been forged by the CIA. As a matter of fact, it's not only not quite right, it's illegal. The CIA is barred by law from concocting things like that designed to influence public opinion in this country. So what one has to do is get George Tenet, the head of the CIA at the time, on the stand. He has already perjured himself once, and I've noted that in an article I wrote. And very briefly, it's during the 9/11 commission proceedings. He, having had this agreement with the president for a long time, that he would not embarrass the president by telling the world how many times he had warned the president about 9/11, and in return for that, the president would, you know, praise him up and down, not can him, and, you know, eventually give him the highest civilian medal that he could give. Now, George Tenet was pledged to defend the president. So when he was asked before the 9/11 commission, after he was sworn in, you're speaking under oath. You know, what did you say to the president during October? You know, before I'm not in October, but before in August, before September 11. He said, "I never talked to the president." And the Romer, one of the commissioners, said, "You never talked to the president?" "No, I never saw the president. He was in Crawford, and you know, I took some leave around here." "Are you sure?" Yeah, I'm sure." Well, that evening, Tenet's spokesman wrote a little note to the 9/11 commission. Oh, the head of the CIA, George Tenet, misspoke. He did see the president on the 14th of August, and he saw him at the end of August, too. And we've since found out that he saw him one time in between there, in Crawford. Two times in Crawford, one time when Bush finally got back to Washington on the 31st of August. So what was that? That was a lie under oath. You know, it's not likely that the Tenet forgot about that, because he waxes eloquent about that visit to Crawford and how he marveled at the fauna and the flora and how George Bush took him around in his Jeep and all this stuff. You know, he says, "It's my first time in Crawford, and, you know, this boy from Queens, man, that was really..." I mean, it's incredible that he would have forgotten that. So he perjured himself under oath.
Well, it was all over TV when he was there. It was all over the news. Now you just said something, and again, so much is happening. I miss a lot of things, and I read the mainstream news reports, the blurbs that came out, and a mention on MSNBC of the CIA being ordered to manufacture connections to Iraq and 9/11. But are you saying that Bush, and see, I'm embarrassed I missed this, or did I hear you correctly, that Bush was ordering Cheney was ordering the CIA to create fake connections to Mohammed Atta before 9/11 to Iraq? That is smoking gun.
No, I didn't mean to say that. I'm saying that before 9/11, George Bush was so thoroughly briefed by George Tenet that when the balloon went up, you know, at 9/11, George Bush was faced with a very difficult decision. Here's George Tenet with like 36 serious warnings that he'd issued to the president over the last 6 weeks, and he has the goods on him, and so there had to be a deal. So Bush went out to the CIA. You may remember this. He went out
yes.
A week after, you know, and he said, George Tenet is the best DCI we have. The CIA has kept us safe, and we have the best intelligence service in the world. In return for which, George Tenet pledged that he would not make available to the general public or even the 9/11 commission the number of times that he had warned the president, you know?
Yeah, Bin Laden determined to attack memos, all those lies. Now, and then Rice was caught lying under oath about that as well. Expanding on that, it just came out, ABC News, 2 days ago, and a bunch of other places it was reported, that the White House ordered the FBI director Mueller to lie and say that the anthrax came from Iraq when they knew it was U.S. government weaponized from the start of that. So comment on that, Mr. McGovern, and then give us your take on this latest apparent patsy dying in government custody and the lady who's all these DWIs and drugs and you know, putting out this info that he was the man, the FBI saying he was the only suspect the whole time while they were persecuting Stephen Hatfield in the White House on Cipro. I mean to simplify that, your take on the White House ordering the CIA to try to come up with something that Saddam had this anthrax, and then B, what's your take on the anthrax?
Well, on the anthrax thing, you know, it's not surprising, but it's no less infuriating. What happened, of course, was the White House instructed people like Tom Brokaw and others to... I'm sorry, that has to do with the other one. What they did was instruct people to tie the anthrax to Iraq. Now, there's absolutely no evidence of that at all. And yet people did tie it to Iraq, and that was one of the most fearful things that Cheney was able to play on to justify, in quotes, the attack on Iraq. Would the White House do this? Of course they would. They've done all manner of surreptitious and illegal things. And the mainstream media, as I mentioned before, was all too eager to play the game. So anthrax also became directly associated with Iraq because the White House told their favorite people in the media without any evidence at all that it looked like Iraq might have been behind that as well. So, you know, even, who is it, that fellow that's on late at night, fellow with the 10 major questions or 10 major, I can't remember his name now, but you know, he interviewed McCain. Okay, it'll come to me in a second. He interviewed McCain a week or so, and McCain said, you know, there's evidence that Iraq is behind this, and if that's behind the anthrax.
Oberman.
Now it was the... it was that fellow Letterman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Letterman, sure.
Yeah, he had Letterman on there, and it's on the web. You can see
I've seen it. It's great.
YouTube, yeah, where McCain quite gratuitously says, you know, there's information that Iraq was involved in this, and, you know, if that's the truth, well, we'll have to put an end to that right away, you know, this kind of stuff. So yeah, it was one of these what we call propaganda offensives, and... there were people in the CIA who were seconded to the White House to make sure they knew how to do covert propaganda correctly.
It's amazing. And the American people still have no idea that it's not just lies about WMDs. It's all of the fake documents and the manufacturing. I mean, specifically on the anthrax, though. The White House is on the drug that fights it 4 weeks before the anthrax shows up. We have all these enemies of the White House being sent the anthrax. It's super weaponized from Fort Detrick. The FBI claims somebody made it in a basement with a bucket. I mean, what's your bottom line and assessment of who's behind the anthrax attack?
Well, clearly it was a government worker because the strain that was developed was far too sophisticated to come from any cave in Afghanistan or Pakistan or any other place.
That's what I mean. Then we have the White House running around saying it's Iraq, and then they're on Cipro. I mean, that's enough to indict somebody right there. I mean, aren't the White House the prime suspects?
It should be. Well, it's a leap that I'm not quite prepared to make right now. What we know is it came from a U.S. government lab. I haven't had a time to read all the reporting on this fellow that they've wrapped up. It stinks to high heaven, as we would say in the Bronx, but it seems to me equally likely, at least, that the White House seized on this and try to associate it with Iraq right away, which, of course, they did, rather than plot the whole thing. But, you know, we really have to get to the bottom of it. The thought that this guy acted alone is a little bit stretchy for me. It stretches my credulity.
Israel mulls military option for Iran strikes, and I keep seeing the similar headline, Israel's got to get their nukes, got to get their nukes. And the average American hears that in the back of the, you know, they're in the bar and they hear it on the TV. They're thinking they've got nukes with that misleading headline. And the war drums are going. What's the word now? Are they still planning to hit Iran?
Well, of course, what Americans don't know, as you suggest, is that Iran doesn't have any nukes and won't have any nukes for a couple of years yet, if then. 16 U.S. intelligence agencies have pronounced in a formal document unanimously that Iran stopped its nuclear weapons-related program, not the not the enrichment of uranium, but the nuclear weapons-related aspects, in mid-2003, and that as of this time last year, they had not reestablished it. So when the president, vice president, other people say or talk blithely about Iranian nukes, number one, there aren't any, and number two, our best intelligence is that they stopped working on nuclear-related, on nuclear weapons-related stuff. That's really important. There's plenty more here. The situation in Iraq is specifically related to this. And if we have a little bit more time, Alex...
Let's cover that when we get back and then take a few phone calls with Ray McGovern. He's an amazing individual. We really appreciate him spending so much time with us today. Ray McGovern's going to stay with us 20 minutes into the next hour. For John, Kurt, Al, and many others holding to talk to him, toll free number to join us, 800-259-9231. We're going into Iraq, Iran, other key areas he wants to discuss, and then, of course, your phone calls. Before we go back to Ray McGovern, I want to encourage all of you to support alternative media. Get my film, Terror Storm, A History of Government-Sponsored Terrorism. It covers how our own government overthrew Iran by staging terror attacks, Operation Ajax. It covers the USS Liberty attack with Israel trying to sink the ship to blame it on Egypt. That's now been declassified by the NSA. Boy, that shut up the debunkers real fast. So it covers a bunch of declassified histories of that. And then we get into 9/11/77 and what happened there. Terror Storm, the final cut. It's the second edition. It's the final edition. Gets into BBC announcing Building 7 had fallen 25 minutes before it did, exactly as it did fall. Firefighters, police on video saying, get back, they're about to blow it up. I mean, it's powerful. It is Terror Storm, final cut. It's got Governor Jesse Ventura in it and many others. My new film is Truth Rising about the 9/11 Truth Movement. It's available as cheap as $9.95 at InfoWars.com. Get my films, make copies of them, give them to people. If you take action, you are unstoppable. We are unstoppable together. And as the tyranny intensifies, you better understand, folks, this is life and death. And before we get into Iran and Iraq, Ray McGovern, I wanted to bring that point up to you. And that's this. I don't think people working for the establishment, compartmentalized, who, you know, are carrying out one piece of evil and another piece of evil and it all combines together, I don't think they understand. You know, it's all a big fun thing. They're in charge. They're tough. They're intimidating women and children. They're threatening people. They're spying on people. I don't think they know history and that tyrannies are for the general public. You know, they want to shut down the opposition, but once the tyranny's in place, it's because they want to loot economies, rob the population, destroy the treasury. That's what this is about. And can you just historically, briefly, since we have more time with you before we get into Iraq in the next segment, speak to what's happening, you know, historically with how a tyranny will affect us all?
Well, the most important thing for me is how with the withdrawal of habeas corpus, with the recent ruling from the U.S. Circuit Court in the Fourth District, with other things that the president has said he can do, our government can say, all right, Alex, the president has named you a enemy combatant, pick you up from your studio and take you to some cell in South Carolina, keep you there for the rest of his life, the rest of your life. That's possible. That's possible under the Patriot Act. And it has, as I say, just been reinforced not only by the court decision I just mentioned, but by what we can call now the Hamdan Principle, where that that chauffeur for bin Laden, okay, no material support for terrorism, and yet he's you know, he's been convicted of this and can be put in, will be kept for life. So these principles have been established now. Nobody said much in our courts. And the Congress, of course, is completely punted on all of this. The only hopeful sign that I see, well, there are really two. One is the group of intelligence analysts who had the guts to speak out at the end of 2007 and say, hey, guess what? Actually, it was 2000. Yeah. Anyhow, the November estimate, which said, you know what we've been telling you about Iran and nuclear weapons? Well, they stopped their program in mid-2003 and haven't restarted it. That's big, because the president didn't want to hear that. Cheney didn't want to hear that. Guess why it was that that got out into the news? It got out into the news because our professional military, I'm thinking of Admiral Fallon, who has since been cashiered, but I'm also thinking about the current Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mike Mullen, insisted that it be put out there. Besides, Congress had been given early copies and they were going to put it out, and the administration didn't. So there's a really hopeful development. There are still some honest people in our government trying to tell the truth, even though it cuts across the grain of what the government wants to do.
Absolutely. We got good people everywhere. Ray McGovern will be back in 60 seconds.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ray McGovern is our guest for another 20 minutes, long 14-minute segment coming up. We're going to talk to the callers after this break coming up in 5 minutes. I forgot to add that in Terrorstorm, Ray McGovern, interviewing him in there about the very intelligence report about no WMDs, no nuclear program abandoned in 2003. That is, by the way, in Terrorstorm. He's also in the upcoming film, Jason Burmes interviewed him for it, Fabled Enemies, where we look at the Israelis infiltrating our government. And we're not here to bash Israel. It's just a fact that Israel is extremely warlike and manipulating much of our foreign policy. Before Ray leaves us, maybe you can talk some about that. I mean, speaking of the devil, it's Israel driving the Iran showdown and what's happening in Iraq. And you were wanting to mention earlier the situation in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now more U.S. troops being killed every week in Afghanistan than in Iraq. Ray McGovern.
Well, Alex, the basis of the problem really is that our leaders back 7 years ago or 8 years ago, including our military leaders, had no concept, had no lessons learned from the experience of Vietnam. And that, very simply, is you don't go invading another country and think you can occupy it and bend them to your will without having the kind of insurgency that is sure to defeat you. I mean, it happened to the British, happened to the French, and it happened to us in Vietnam. And a mere 30 years goes by, everybody forgets that. The military is not even trained to do counterinsurgency anymore, and they go into Iraq. And what they expected in terms of the reaction of the Iraqi people, I don't know, but they were really terribly naive if they thought that they could make this thing work. Now, people have to realize that it wasn't weapons of mass destruction, clearly. It wasn't ties between Iraq and al-Qaeda, clearly. What was it? Well, I've been saying for 5 years now, it was an acronym, OIL, okay? O for oil, I for Israel, and L for logistics, the permanent military bases that were going to be set up there that the U.S. could use to dominate that area, take care of the oil, and take care of Israel. Now, what happened? Well, there were no terrorists to speak of in Iraq before. Now there are. It's teeming with terrorists. And is Israel safer? Of course not. Will Israel be safe if the U.S. troops leave? Of course not. So it's very, very much in Israel's interest to have us embedded, so to speak, in the Middle East for a very long time to come. How best to do that? Well, the best way, of course, would be to get us involved in a war with Iran. Then we'd be there for the duration. Then there would be a draft year. Then we'd have all kinds of folks, all kinds of casualties. And it would be very easy to stir up American, quote, patriotism, end quote, to support yet a wider war. And besides all that, of course, if the Israelis look at it, they've only got 5 months. I mean, Bush and Cheney are going to be gone. And they've made it very explicit that the president has promised to take care of Iraq, as they put it, before he leaves office. So I have this window of 5 months. And if I were, you know, in that kind of frame of mind by the Israeli leaders, which I'm not, of course, but the way they look at the world and the way they look at their history, what has worked in the past is you provoke something. You provoke something to make a wider war. The U.S. is bound and determined, under Bush at least, to come to Israel's aid. And we've got a major war going where most of Iran's nuclear facilities, whether they're weapons related or not, will be destroyed. And that'll be nice. They'll be, you know, give them another 10 years. It's a terribly myopic policy that Israel is following and being sort of encouraged to follow by our government, because it doesn't make Israel safer. Ooh, what to learn from the last few years should be that Israel has to stop its attitude toward destroying everyone who could pose a threat, and sitting down at the negotiation table like most civilized countries do, and working out arrangements where people can live in peace by mutual respecting one another.
Ray McGovern, stay there. I've got one more set of questions, and we're going to calls in the final segment with you on the other side. And I'm going to ask the question, is there a difference between John McCain and Barack Obama, and will attacking Iran be the October surprise for John McCain, or does it even matter? We'll be right back with Ray McGovern and your phone calls.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We interview a lot of intelligence analysts and political experts who've been studying things for decades, and they pretty much come up with the same breakdown or similar breakdown. I want to get Ray McGovern's take on this. And basically, Israel's put this in their newspapers. They've made it known that if Barack Obama is elected in November, that they will attack earlier. They will attack during the last 3 months that Bush has in office, November, December, into January, probably right after the election. If McCain is elected, they may wait a little bit, and that's A. B, from the inside sources you have and from studying the situation, Ray McGovern, would there be a difference under a Barack Obama? I mean, earlier he'd said a lot of things. Now he's backtracking on all of them. Warrantless spying, war, all of it. He said publicly, don't just think if I get elected that Iran's off the hook. You know, we'll support something. We'll support Israel. So there are the questions. A, when do you think the war is on, if it's on, depending on who gets elected? And B, is there a difference between the candidates?
Well, let me put it this way. I see a perfect storm brewing for October, maybe September. And we're talking, you know, 1 month away or 2 months away. First off, at that point, there will only be 3 months left of Bush and Cheney. Secondly, it'll be much clearer than it is now. Nobody seems to wise up to the fact that we've been invited out of Iraq and that the surge has failed. The surge has failed because the surge was designed to give some breathing space for Iraqi politicians to put it all together so that they could have a place that we could leave. So we'll be no longer in Iraq in the force we are now this time next year, and that gives the Israelis conniptions, okay? Now, Abizaid takes over in September. Who does he report to? He reports to Cheney. There's chapter and verse I can cite about that. It's clear that when Cheney tells him to lie, for example, about the Iranian provision, so-called, of weapons in Iraq, he lies. He can't prove it, and later the press forgets all about it. The fourth element here has to do with McCain. Now, this is not a necessary element of this equation, but my suggestion is that McCain is likely to have his numbers in the toilet by this time. They're not so good now. I don't think with the economy just falling apart, I think his numbers are going to be so low that there will be some sort of effort to see some magical way to raise them. And what could do that better than have a wider war? I mean, if a terrorist incident would boost McCain's number, well, so much the more would a wider war. So there we have it. 3 months left. We're no longer in Iraq coming this next year. Abizaid is gone. We have, if I said Abizaid, I meant Petraeus, of course. And Petraeus is in there. He reports to Cheney. By the way, Cheney and the White House can order our commanders, like the chief of CENTCOM, which will, of course, be Petraeus, they can order them to make a war without having to go through Mullen. That's the law. The JCS, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is sort of like an information, a CC on this order. The White House can bypass that and simply give the order to Petraeus. So what we have here is a very delicate situation. I'm looking at it mostly from the Israeli perspective, because I've become convinced that Mullen is probably strong enough, that is, the uniformed military is probably strong enough to resist an order from Cheney and Bush to start the war themselves. But once the Israelis, because they're the ones that feel this is their last best chance...
Once they pull the trigger,
we're in there with both feet, and the president has promised. You know, he keeps calling Israel our ally. There is no mutual defense treaty between U.S. and Israel. People should know that. So if the Israelis want to get us involved in a big war, we should tell them, as Mullen has repeatedly told them, not to do it. The only problem is, Cheney tells them, yeah, go ahead and do it.
So, Ray McGovern, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but from what you're saying, I'm getting that the intel you're getting and just looking at the scene, you're saying October is the prime time. You're thinking they may move before the election, not thinking they'll have the political power as complete lame ducks to attack after the election.
I think that's likely, and there's the business about helping McCain. You know, they would think that would enhance his chances.
And we've had Republican memos. We've had his chief advisor salivating over a war or a terrorist attack.
Yeah, so... all those things, but now, you know, this is guesswork, pretty much. This is an estimate on my part. Others whom I respect fully expect this kind of thing to happen, and the way I suggest it will happen, but not until after the election when McCain has already lost. I'm less persuaded that that's likely. I think it's more likely to have an October or even a September surprise.
So the debate within your colleagues isn't if they're going to attack, but when they're going to attack.
Most of us feel that an attack is more likely than not, yeah. And, you know, Alex, just to take two steps back here, you know, since when is it respectable for a country to have open discourse about, oh, I wonder when our country will attack Iran? Do you think it would be before the election, or maybe it would be better after the election? I mean, it used to be. I mean, I'm not all that old, but I remember a time when attacking another country was
illegal,
frowned upon, you know?
It's illegal.
I mean, what's become of our discourse here where we just simply say, well, we'll attack Iran. The only question is when. That's awful.
So it's a foregone conclusion. Ron Paul says on the Hill, the only debate is, will the U.S. immediately aid Israel in the first attack, or once the attack begins and Iran no doubt responds in some way, then they'll shriek and say, you know, like an elephant to a mouse, oh my God, they fought back. This is the greatest crime in history. And that they're, he says, colleagues he's known for decades are walking around with self-satisfied smiles talking about how wonderful it's going to be to nuke them. I mean, it's just infantile mindlessness.
Yeah, I have a lot of adjectives for it, Alex, but I can't use them on the air.
Well, I want to get to some calls, and I don't want to... You know, this is so important, we've gone further. Let's go to the bottom of the hour, Ray, and then I promise I'll let you go, because I got a few more questions before we do take three or four calls that are lined up here. Just looking at the Israeli mindset of, you know, intelligent, smart, but incredibly arrogant, incredibly self-assured, you know, I think it's the M.O. there throughout history... But you would think that after a few thousand Hezbollah, which they're angry at Iran, they believe backing it, and obviously probably were, kicking their butt, and their supposed invincible super battle tank, and they were the Israelis were even using, there's video of them loading nerve gas canisters into artillery, still getting beat in a checkerboard infantry defense with just rocket-propelled grenades. How does Israel think they can take on Iran if they can't even beat a Hezbollah militia?
Well, that's just it, Alex. It wouldn't be Israel taking on Iran. It would be Israel and us. And that's what they would depend on. Is there a risk there? Well, it depending on how they judge the relative credibility of Mullen on the one hand, who has said, you know, don't start something like this because we're not going to get in there with you. And particularly don't have the kind of provocation that happened with the USS Liberty. He even raised the USS Liberty incident with the Israelis.
Oh, that's incredible. Flesh that out. I mean, so much is happening daily that I mentioned that but hardly covered it Monday. Yeah. Talk about that. That's incredible.
Yeah, well, he gratuitously said to the Israelis, look, you know, you almost sunk the USS Liberty on the 8th of June 1967. We don't want that to happen again. So, you know, you got to be really careful. Now, he didn't come right out and say, whatever you do, don't think you can sink one of our ships and start a war between us and Iran. But that's the way you put it. Now, for a naval officer to finally raise this with the Israelis after our Navy has been so cowardly, and I say that word advisedly, so cowardly, and our administration and Congress have been so cowardly not to protest to the Israelis for the deliberate killing of 34 seamen and the deliberate wounding of 171 seamen on the 8th of June, 1967. You know, to have an admiral finally raise this gives me some courage, gives me some hope that this guy's got nerves of steel. The only downside about all that, of course, is that they can look at Mullen, and they can see him protest, as he has three times since he was in Israel, that, you know, we don't want a third front. We don't want a third front. I mean, he's protesting, not that the Israelis already told those. He's trying to tell Congress. He's trying to tell the White House, no, not a third front, okay? But who are the Israelis listening to? Well, I know who they're listening to. They're listening to Dick Cheney, and they're listening to Elliot Abrams, and all those idiots that started the war.
They've never been intelligence. They've never been in the military. They are literally divorced from reality.
Yeah, and they don't really care much, you know. If this whole idea is about inserting U.S. bases in that part of the world, if it's about having special rights or special control over the oil, well, they'll give it their best shot. And if it doesn't work, well, they go out of office in January. They go off to hunt and live in Crawford or wherever, and it'll be left for the rest of the rest of us to pick up the pieces.
Well, you talk about the economy imploding. Every analyst, I mean, I've seen no one who has said that it's going to make the economy better. In fact, everybody we've talked to, economists say that this will probably put us into a depression.
Well, you haven't talked to the military-industrial complex, I'll bet, Alex, because they stand to make mega bucks out of a new war. No, you're quite right. I mean, it would be a disaster. And what I can't quite figure out is why the European leaders, and even Russia and China, to an extent, seem so blasé about all this stuff. I would expect, maybe it's being suppressed, but I would expect them to be speaking out very loudly.
Well, the Russians have said they're letting us get into something that'll destroy us. It's kind of seen as, well, let the idiots do it.
I'm afraid that's correct. And besides, if the price of oil goes up, so do the Russian treasury.
All right, I'm going to talk to Ray McGovern during the break. Earlier he said I could have him as long as I wanted, but I don't want to abuse his time. But this is all so important, what we're discussing here. So much is coming out. I'm going to talk to him during the break and see how long he can stay with us so we can take calls. Stay with us, Ray McGovern. We'll be right back. PrisonPlanet.com.
Come, you masters of war. Here they build the big guns.
Ray's going to be with us till 45 in.
Here they build the death planes.
Again, I just state the fact that it's so amazing they're using the Army to spy on Americans and provocateur and private goons, no doubt, to go threaten people's wives for news websites.
Hide behind discs.
And to threaten me and just all the craziness. How do these people not know they're the bad guys? Well, they've bought into, we're doing the right thing, terrorists hit us, and we got to shut everybody up that's against the war. We got to ban protests because it's against the war. I'll never forget the Deputy Attorney General in the Oakland Tribune right on the eve of the Gulf War, the second one in 2003. And I'll never forget Mr. Calhoun in the paper saying, we're going to ban protests statewide because this war, this was a Democratic Deputy Attorney General, the war is against Al-Qaeda. And so protesting a war against Al-Qaeda is aiding terrorists. And so we're going to ban protest. That was in the Oakland Tribune. I read it over and over again on air. We even tried to get him on the show. It was an official press release we got from him, press conference he gave. You know, that's the attitude. That's the chilling effect they want, really, in both parties. And Ray McGovern, we're going to the calls here in a moment, but that's my final question for you before we go to calls is, do you see any hope if a Barack Obama is elected? Because I, frankly, see pretty much lockstep by the Democrats. I mean, they'll say one thing to their constituents to get elected with what's popular, but their actions show that they are lockstep with whatever this administration is.
Yeah, Alex, I would see it more as their rhetoric. Some of the things that have disappointed me greatly about Obama is his felt need to kowtow to the Israel lobby and say extraordinary things like Jerusalem should remain united and under Israel control. I mean, those things are so patently pandering to the lobby that they disappoint me greatly. Now, if he came into office, you know, it's always a matter of compared to what. I mean, look what McCain would have us do, stay in Iraq forever, you know, well, not forever, just 100 years. That's not hyperbole. That's the way he sees it. And that, you know, our commitment in Iraq is going to so roil the American people over the next couple of years if it continues, that we will have the equivalent of an insurrection, and then you're going to see a repression full time. So,
well, McCain just said, as you know, 2 weeks ago that, oh, we're going to have a national draft if we're hit by terrorists again.
Yeah. So you can see where they're coming at things. McCain, I don't think, can really think in geopolitical terms. And Obama has said a couple of things indicating that he realizes that, you know, the roots of terror, the swamp in which terrorists breed, have to do with grievances that they consider to be legitimate, and many of them are legitimate. If you don't address those, you know, it's like shooting mosquitoes coming out of the swamp rather than draining the swamp.
Why do you think that the Republicans put somebody forward like McCain? I mean, the guy has the charisma of a June bug. He comes off as completely mentally ill.
Well, you got a pretty wife, and look at the others. I mean, it's compared to what? I mean, the others were, you know, I watched the others, and I, you know, I'll spare any comment on them, but here's McCain. You know, the surge, you know, his big thing, of course, is the surge. And what people don't realize is that the president himself was very specific when he explained the reason for the surge. And I quote him, "It is to create breathing space to help make political reconciliation possible." Now, that's what he said. If that was the real intention, then it hasn't been achieved, because just yesterday, the Iraqi parliament went on vacation for a month without approving an election law, without approving an arrangement to share the oil revenue, without approving anything. They're no closer than they were 15 months ago.
And they've asked the U.S. to leave, proving that that they're running nothing. And on top of that, they admit what the surge really is paying off the different factions hundreds of millions apiece every few months. And I was talking to a special forces colonel when I was up in D.C. covering things, and I literally had the spooks asking me if I planned anything violent, and then introducing me to the special forces colonel with his high and tight haircut. It was going, and they started trying to sell me, Ray. I mean, if this is, I guess, like they were the KGB trying to recruit me there in the restaurant. It was ridiculous, going, you know, Alex, the surge is working, and I go, you're paying them all off. And they went into telling me how great it was. I mean, that's how amateur is. It is now, Ray, is the guys that are following me one day are then coming up to me trying to be my friend in the bar the next.
Yeah. What most people don't realize, and we said this, some of us said this from the start, is the surge had one purpose, and that was to avoid a definitive defeat for U.S. forces before Cheney and Bush left office. In that sense, it's worked beautifully for them. You put 30,000 more troops in there, you're going to prevent a definitive defeat. You'll have over 1,000 more U.S. men killed, but you'll be able to be able to go out of office saying, "Well, we didn't lose it.
All right.
It was the next administration."
Here we go to your phone calls. McGovern giving us this much time today. Just Google his name, Ray McGovern, and click the news function on Google or web and find hundreds of great articles written by him, analysis, radio interviews, TV interviews. He's in my film Terror Storm. Get it at InfoWars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. Please get Terror Storm Final Cut. Make copies of it. Get Loose Change Final Cut. I produced Truth Rising, Endgame. I want you to get them. I want you to make copies. I want you to educate friends and family. These are fire-and-forget info weapons to unlock minds. We better do it. A lot of people are making big sacrifices to bring you this information, and we have a fighting chance if we speak out, if we cause a revolution of information and understanding, which we're seeing starting to happen. 1-800-259-9231 is the number to join us on air. 888-253-3139 is the toll-free number to call and get the films and books. We have a big online video and bookstore at InfoWars.com. Let's go ahead and talk to John in Ohio, holding patiently for Ray McGovern. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Ray. I want to talk about an important article on informationclearinghouse.info, a comment entitled Covert Ops to Overthrow Iran's Government. Covert Ops to Overthrow Iran's Government. I just want, in passing, mention that I believe that Obama, as he's often referred to on WSWS.org, as the best asset the neocon warmongers have, and the Democrats as their best asset, because they are colluding. And I think that if we're going to protest at the Democratic convention, we got to cut through all of this nutty stuff about him being some kind of a progressive or a leftist or a Marxist. This is insane stuff. He is, as you said, slavishly pushing every bit of the saber rattling and whitewash of Israeli aggression, persecution, and saber rattling. And I think that has to be exposed. That has to be the constant theme, that the Democrats and Obama are the best asset for Bush warmongering. But at, this article on informationclearinghouse.info, I want to preface it by saying that I called George Norrie last week, and I brought up this outrageous plan to kill American soldiers and false flag us into a war with Iran. I've also mentioned on national programs, Terrorist Storm promoted that. I'm on the left. I have disagreements with Mr. Jones, but I was appalled to hear probably the most rabid neocon Israeli agent, CIA agent, warmonger on the Monday program, Jerome Corsi. And this article on information clearinghouse.info details a lot of his connections to some of the most Israeli operations, that the Israeli Zionist operations, the Central Intelligence Agency, though he denies it, propaganda that would make even Cheney blush with shame, that the Iranians have got a bomb that they want to plant in the United States and New York and blow us up, an atomic bomb. This kind of stuff is the worst kind of arson propaganda, and I would hope that Mr. Jones, who's doing such great work in exposing all this, will not sabotage his own efforts in that
respect. We have Dr. Corsi on, who you can't prove is a CIA operative. I disagree with him on his stance with war, but I disagree with Naomi Wolf. I'm not a leftist. But I have a lot of different views, a lot of perspectives on this show. Okay, and it, so obsessing over that all day. We're trying to give people a wide spectrum look at things. But thank you for the call, John. Do you have any comments on that, Ray McGovern?
Yeah, John. Well, John and Alex, I find it really interesting that John would be citing informationclearinghouse.info, because that is John Feeley's website, the one that we started talking about earlier today. So he's getting a smattering of all manner of different perspectives from that website, and it is crucial that that stay up and that we do what we can to prevent him from being further harassed. Now, as far as the Democrats are concerned, you know, I would, if you're going to go to Denver and protest, I would protest against Mrs. Pelosi and Jay Rockefeller, both of them well aware of the covert actions on torture, on illegal eavesdropping, on A, B, C, and D of all this. And they were fully briefed, and they not only approved, but they clapped their hands, and they kept it all secret from the rest of us. And so you ask yourself why they're against impeachment? Simple. One of the reasons, one of the main reasons, is any thorough investigation would disclose that they were co-conspirators. They were accomplices.
Yeah, that's how tyranny works, is that once people sign on to torture or illegal wars of aggression, then they feel like, you know, they've already robbed one bank, why not rob 10 more?
Sure, and worse still, Alex, you know, were they to deny that, well, you know, we just happened to be monitoring your phone that day, Mrs. Pelosi, so don't deny this. We've got the goods on you. So it all, you know, it all works just the way J. Edgar Hoover used to proceed, and it all works just the way we try to prevent it from working when we passed the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the FISA, back in 1978 to prevent precisely this kind of thing.
Yes, let's take another call. Kurt in Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Kurt.
Hi, Kurt.
Good morning. Hi, Alex and Ms. McGovern. I just want to say that you guys are American heroes of the highest order, and it's an honor to speak to you. I've been on the streets as an activist for over 16 years and trying to get people to be more vigorous citizens, because I think that is at its core what we're having here. We have 1,000 different problems, and at its core is a bunch of lazy citizens. So in that effort, we're trying to create something called the Common Sense Revival, .tripod.com. Check out our site. It's based on critical thinking and positive psychology, so that people can become empowered through clear thinking and then deal with the depression that comes as being an activist. And also want to mention pro se legal, because I'm actually having a jury trial in the federal court against the city of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, for infringing my free speech rights. So everybody's listening, please make some signs, whatever issue that you would pick. Go
get active. Stop. Yeah, action is victory. I absolutely agree with you, Kurt. Take care. Let's talk to Al in Los Angeles. Al, you're on the air. Yes, Al.
Back in the 1990s, under Clinton, wasn't there some military guys that some top military men that defected to France, and a couple and some others that were killed over like Montana or something?
Well, your phone's really bad, sir. But you're talking.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
All right, back in the 1990s, did you ever hear about some top military guys that defected to France and some others that were assassinated in some plane crash over the some northern states?
No, I remember them blowing up Treasury Secretary Ron Brown's plane, and then the head coroner in the Army said that they'd been shot in the head, and others had been. They clearly had some type of black ops on board the plane. They shot everybody and then remote controlled it into the side of a mountain. Murder is just part of the way this government operates, but without specifics, I don't know what you're talking about. Ray, are you aware of any of that?
No, I'm not.
Okay, anything else, Al?
Yeah, second question. What does God's kingdom mean to you?
What does God's kingdom mean to me?
Yeah.
Well, I really don't know what you mean by that question, sir. We're here talking about trying to stop what could potentially lead to a world war, a world depression, a police state here in the U.S. that's being geared up. And, I am a Christian, but I don't really get into all the thousands of different denominations and debates that go on. I mean, what does God's kingdom mean to you?
Well, it's quite literal. I think it's quite literal to me, because I see these things as ongoing. So long as the sovereignty is in human hands, I can see tyranny rising again and again, just like Bible prophecy talks about all these wild beasts rising again and again.
Well, listen, I agree with you, Al, but what I do hear every time we talk about serious issues is Christians call in and say, it's always going to be evil. We're always going to have problems. I see it all over our message boards at prisonplanet.com. It's the end of the world. What are we going to do? Evil always comes back. Yeah, but good has always fought back against evil. And when good gives in to evil, when good men do nothing, is when we get nightmares. And so kind of the attitude of, well, evil always raises its head again. Yeah, and we always got to chop it off again. We can't just pass the buck to God. Ray McGovern, you want to speak to this basic psychology?
Well, I think you're right. Evil succeeds when good people do nothing. People need further proof of that. Just look at Nazi Germany in the 30s, where people really couldn't find their voice, really couldn't oppose what was going on, and thought as long as it was just the Jews or just the Gypsies or just the Polacks or just the Catholics or whatever, that they could hunker down and be safe. That's a good example of how not to act. And, if you profess to be a follower of Jesus of Nazareth, you have no other option than to oppose evil on the spot. That was part of his message, This is what we have to do. Not only do good, but not avoid evil as the ethicists say, but oppose it on the spot.
Well, look at the prophets. Most of them were killed for fighting evil. They always put themselves between the iron fist of the state, corruption, tyranny, and the innocents, the widows. It's better to tie a millstone around your neck and be cast in the deepest sea to hurt one of the little ones. And by not fighting evil, you are an accomplice to that, and you sign your name to it. Two final calls. We're going to let Ray McGovern go. It's been an amazing interview. Very thankful for him. Claire in West Virginia, you're on the air, and then Jim.
Yeah, hi. This is Claire.
Hi, Claire.
Hi. The main thing, it was weird because I took a day off work today, and I usually listen to rebroadcasts, even though I've wanted to call in the past. This happens to be probably one of the most interesting shows I've heard. I was thinking of all these different questions, and then you mentioned Jay Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm from West Virginia, I never supported Jay Rockefeller. I don't understand how the state ever let this New York millionaire in. But I wonder if you could give me a little more information so I could pass this on, because I haven't really followed as much what he's been doing.
Well, he acts like he's against the war and torture and all this, but then he signs on to it, right?
Yeah. He, as you probably know, is head of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And he recently, to his credit, they came out with an exhaustive report saying that the president lied us into war by distorting, by manufacturing so-called intelligence. Now, that's to his credit. The only problem is that before he left the stage that day, he said, oh, and by the way, impeachment is not realistic. Well, now, why would a senator who has nothing to say about impeachment, why would he think it necessary to add that little footnote? Well, because he knows that if impeachment goes forward, he will be implicated in these charges because he approved them. How did he approve them? Because he was head of this committee. He was fully briefed on the torture, on the avoiding of the laws having to do with illegal surveillance. And so he's implicated chapter and verse. Besides, it took him 5 years to do this study about Iraq. He could have completed it as soon as he demonstrates.
They've got for it. He's covering his butt now.
Well, yeah, that's a nice way to put it.
Claire, thank you for the call. Last caller, Jim in New York. Go ahead.
You there?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Jim.
First time I've ever got on. I just want to say that no matter what they do, they can't not make me a good man. I'm going to be a good man till the end. You're a good man. Good men will stand up. We're fighting a tyranny, you know that, and I believe right now we're in what I would term as a soft police state anyhow.
Yes.
Soft martial law with checkpoints everywhere, SWAT teams going into people's homes, taking guns, CPS
and it's getting hotter. And it's getting hotter.
And it's getting hotter. Well, good people are standing together. Good people are going to take care of this. This isn't going to end badly. It's going to be bloody, but listen, there are things that everybody can do. Be responsible for yourself. I know that I'm responsible for myself. I'm a good man, and I tell everybody around me. I have a 9/11 was an inside job sign out in my front of my house, and I tell anybody who asks.
Well, that's it. They can't get us all. Yep. In closing, I got to let Ray go in a minute. Go ahead.
I just wanted to plug my website. My friends have a website, deprogram.wordpress.com. It is full of other liberty. All we talk about is liberty. We post articles.
Good. That's what it's going to take, a citizen media. I got to let you go because I told Ray he'd be gone by now. Ray McGovern, you got about 60 seconds. I want to thank you for coming on, my friend. We're glad you're beating your cancer. Everybody should pray for you. In closing comments, sir.
Well, I want to thank you for hosting me here. I think the callers indicate that they're thinking rightly about all this. And I think Jim is quite right. You know, there are enough of us, even though we seem to be in the minority. It was Cesar Chavez that used to always say, look, it doesn't take everyone. There are already enough of us. All we have to do is stop talking. All we have to do is start putting our bodies into it. Take action. And that's what I'd suggest that all of your listeners do. Think about ways that you can form small groups. I'm thinking 5-6 people. Figure it out and do what you can do in your own little environment to advance the cause of truth and then justice.
Well, that's it. Many hands make light work. And folks, it doesn't mean your little 5-6-10-man team, woman team, is going to save the world. But all of us together, exposing, educating, standing up for liberty, starting media websites, Access TV shows, calling into talk shows, local newsletters, all of it together, knowing you're bringing them down, will bring them down. It's that simple. They wouldn't be trying to intimidate people if we weren't having an effect. Support alternative media. Understand that Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and InformationClearinghouse.info, we're all being hacked and attacked and shut down and filtered. And, understand that we're on the tip of the spear. We need your support. Ray McGovern, thank you so much for spending so much time with us. I think this has been an amazing interview, and we are very thankful for your time.
You're most welcome, Alex.
Take care. All right, folks, there goes Ray McGovern. For those that missed the first hour of the show, it was amazing, too, when I went over the intimidation, the threats that we go through, that others go through, just how real this is. when you have guys in high and tight haircuts in plain clothes block your car in a parking lot, you get out and you say, what's going on? And they say, Mr. Jones, you better keep your mouth shut or bad things are going to happen to you. You know, that was a big wake-up call for me, I guess that 8-9 years ago, longer. When things like that happen, or when you get death threats, or when things like that, you know, real ones happen, when you're being followed by special ops wearing clown masks, and that happened. A bunch of people saw it. We tried to get video of it. I believe we got some video, but we have to enhance it because they were driving by, you know, in Virginia. I mean, the government wearing clown masks? I mean, it's getting bad, folks. The government is illegitimate. It's criminal. And they're engaged in all forms of crimes. It's not enough for the government to ship in the heroin and cocaine. It's not enough for them to launder money and push Prozac and Ritalin on kids. It's not enough for CPS to be kidnapping all these children. It's not enough. Not enough to be, you know, using the dollar globally to buy up real assets for the elite and then handing us the bill. It's not enough for them. They're not going to stop until we stop them. It's just going to get worse and worse. It's like a cancer. The country has cancer. The world has cancer. And we got to cut it out somehow. All right, I got a bunch of other news, more of your phone calls. Then we got Jimmy Justice coming on, another example of what you can do. Just amazing stuff straight ahead with that. You know, it's a good feeling, though, to be committed. I mean, I'm not even afraid of these people. I'm afraid I'm not going to do the best job I can with the time I have on this planet. I'm afraid of that. But I'm not afraid of them killing me or setting me up or anything. I am committed. I know why my cause is right, and that's the end of it. Secret police running around threatening women, intimidating them, threatening their children, goons all over the place, TV ads, PR, billboards worshiping the police state, government telling you how much it loves you, private corporations buying up everything. I know there's a lot of good people in government who don't want to be part of this, and a lot of it isn't even your fault. It's the degenerate, lazy, stupid population on average, but that's not all of us. And we don't deserve this, and I'm not going quietly into the night. Jimmy Justice is coming up, and I want to play some clips of him and tell you a little bit about him. Before we do that, before I cover Jimmy Justice, I've made 19 films. The newest is Truth Rising, and this film needs to be seen. I mean, 5 minutes of the two-hour film, 5 minutes of it, is New York police saying that video cameras are guns and that backpacks are bombs and saying, we know you're not terrorists, but we're going to put you in prison for it. I mean, they're so corrupt now, they try to frame you on videotape knowing they're being videotaped. I mean, it's one thing to be criminals, but it's another thing to just think that criminality is so good and is so honorable that you just do it out in the open. I mean, Willie Nelson, Jesse Ventura, Martin Sheen, Michael Moore, Amy Goodman, George Carlin. You know, those are some of the, quote, good guys interviewed in this film about 9/11 being an inside job. And then Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, John McCain being confronted repeatedly, John Edwards, Mitt Romney. I mean, they're all in this film. Number one, it's an entertaining film. It's perfect to wake people up. The fact of who the 9/11 truth movement is, how they're trying to demonize us, how they're trying to set us up. I get arrested in it. But, you know, the high-quality up-close footage of what happened in New York. Geraldo flipping us off. I mean, it's just a crazy film. And it gets into the bombs in the buildings and the key evidence of controlled demolition. But that's about 20% of it. About 20% is the first responders and the deadly dust, the cover-up there. The rest is the 9/11 truth movement and who we are. It's just such an incredible film. I'm so proud of Truth Rising. I know a lot of you probably saw it on PrisonPlanet.tv, but this is an important film. Get it on DVD at InfoWars.com today. Or if you don't have a PrisonPlanet.tv membership, we're about to go live in the next hour with the live feed in here, the video cam, the document cam. Then that's uploaded and posted each day if you don't want to watch it streaming live. Thousands of interviews we've done. hundreds of TV reports I've done, all my films in super high quality, Endgame 1.5, an extra hour-long film just for PrisonPlanet.tv members, an addendum to Endgame, PrisonPlanet.tv. And I want to thank all the members to PrisonPlanet.tv. You make what we do here possible every single day. So again, Infowars.com, or you can simply go to PrisonPlanet.tv, but the online shopping cart is linked there at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. You can also write to me. I'm Alex Jones at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. By the way, I got a bunch of business stuff I'm taking care of. I won't be here tomorrow. Jason Burmes is going to be sitting in. Finally found somebody. Other people sat in and done a great job, too, but Burmes is the best, I think, at it. He'll be here Friday and on the Sunday show. I'll be back live next Monday. But fourth hour straight ahead with Jimmy Justice for 30 minutes, then more of your calls. And now we have loaded phones. A bunch of other news I haven't even gotten to as well. But again, 888-253-3139 to call and get my films and books and the books and videos we carry. Every order gets a free citizen rule book. The big orders get multiple copies. Infowars.com or 888-253-3139. We'll be right back with the fourth hour. We are live at PrisonPlanet.tv on the internet video stream. Your phone calls coming up later in the hour. A ton of important news. We're scheduled to have a fellow named Jimmy Justice on, who goes up to police, especially traffic enforcement cops that write you a ticket for anything. If you sit on a bench too long, they write you a ticket. They treat the public like total scum in New York. Same thing in D.C. I've witnessed it. There'll be a building on fire. They pull up, block the fire hydrant, get out. Nobody cares. They break all the laws. They do whatever they want. And not just what he's going after the cops for, but what all of you can do as little Jimmy Justices. I got friends that have, for 5-6 years, rigged your cars like the Batmobile with little camera pods and digital recorders. Usually we'd have VHSs, you know, under the seat. Drive around recording them. Go out. It's like hunting, but peacefully. You know, it's fun to stake the cops out. Start following the police. Start videotaping them. I mean, let's keep them. You know, they want to surveil us, we're going to surveil them. Let's keep them to a higher standard, not a lower one. Here is some audio. The video is up on Infowars.com of Jimmy Justice with this traffic enforcement cop lady. And there's videos where they'll start threatening to arrest him. He goes, go ahead. This is where he really gets heated, because there's a building on fire outside, and she pulls up and blocks the fire hydrant while she's inside eating a sandwich. Here it is.
Are you on drugs?
What is your problem?
You're a traffic enforcement agent? And you parked your official vehicle blocking a fire pump, and there's a fire outside with firemen out there, and they have no access to the pump? You ought to be ashamed of yourself! You ought to be ashamed of yourself! While you're in the store, you don't hear the sirens? What's the matter with you? You ought to be ashamed of yourself! You're supposed to enforce the law, not break the law! What's the matter with you? Don't you think there's something wrong with blocking a fire hydrant?
Don't you think there's something wrong about filming somebody?
No. I think you're a police officer who's supposed to enforce the law, but you violated the law by parking your official police car, blocking a fire pump. Somebody else will get a ticket for that. What's wrong with you?
Excuse me.
What's wrong with you? T-D-U-L-A.
Carl, what did you do it? Move away from the vehicle.
I'm filming you breaking the law. Miss Dooley, you broke the law.
Yes, thank you, sir.
You broke the law.
Thank you.
What are you going to do, bite me with your gold tooth? I'm going to call 311 and I'm going to file a report against you.
You just do that.
Right, but you just broke the law.
You have all right to do it, okay?
And I'm going to do that.
Thank you.
And I have it on video.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
You made my day.
You made mine too. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
I tell you what, back that audio up again to the start, because we're playing the video at the same time here from the studio. Back it up to where he's in the store yelling at her. We'll put the video up on screen where she's blocked the fire hydrant while there's a fire across the street. And the fire trucks cannot pull in. They're all backed up trying to get parked to the water. Here it is.
Are you on drugs?
What is your problem?
You're a traffic enforcement agent, and you parked your official vehicle blocking a fire pump, and there's a fire outside with firemen out there? and they have no access to the pump, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. While you're in the store, you don't hear the sirens? What's the matter with you? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're supposed to enforce the law and not break the law. What's the matter with you? Don't you think there's something wrong with blocking a fire hydrant?
Don't you think there's something wrong about filming somebody?
No. I think you're a police officer who's supposed to enforce the law, but you violated the law by parking your official police car, blocking a fire pump. Somebody else will get a ticket for that. What's wrong with you?
Excuse me.
What's wrong with you? D-U-L-A.
Carl, what did you do it? Move away from the vehicle.
I'm filming you breaking the law.
There's scores of these videos. Hey, you're not above the law. You're not God because you get a badge and a gun. Same thing for mayors and everybody else. You're not above the law, and we're sick of it. You want to surveil us? We're declaring war right back on you, the bad cops. We'll be right back.
Mix of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We're going to be talking to Jimmy Justice here in a moment. He's a model for all of us. He goes out predominantly with traffic enforcement police, where there'll be a building on fire, and they'll just pull up, park in front of a fire hydrant, walk in to get a hamburger. We all see police break traffic laws, not when they're in hot pursuit with their sirens on, but just do whatever they want. But if you did that, they'd arrest you for reckless driving. The police are, well, the department likes what he's doing, they say, on the service. The police union doesn't like it. They'd defend anything, which is stupid. By having lower standards, then police act bad, then it gives you all bad names. So you ought to be thanking Jimmy Justice for what he's doing. But not just with this, with police brutality, with police corruption, with police violating procedures and the Constitution, Bill of Rights, video cameras are a weapon of the info war and liberty that we can turn back against them. Now, here is an ABC News piece was done about Jimmy Justice. We're going to play part of this and then comment on it and go to Jimmy Justice. Here it is.
Thanks for watching today's Icon. I'm Bianca Rodrigo. Well, we all hate that dreaded feeling when you walk up to your car and you see a bright orange parking ticket under your windshield wiper. You may have actually just been in to get a cup of coffee for 5 minutes. So you think to yourself, you know, cops are only doing their job, they're patrolling the streets. But what happens when you see a cop doing the same thing you actually got a ticket for? One average Joe in Brooklyn decided to whip out his camera and see if he could catch any cops in the act.
Are you embarrassed that you broke the law?
I didn't break the law.
You parked in a bus stop. Look, the buses can't get through, can they? Because of you. Why couldn't you pull in over there? You're blocking traffic on a major avenue. You're not allowed to do that.
He has a mouth.
Are you on drugs?
What is your problem?
He has a camera.
Move away from the vehicle!
I'm filming you breaking the law. Why are you double parked?
And if you wear a badge, he may have you all over the web.
You broke the law! And I got it on videotape. I'm Jimmy Justice, and your days of running around the city like a cowboy are over!
He cruises the streets to catch New York City traffic cops behaving badly, and when he locks on a target, he posts it on the internet for the world to see. In this clip, Jimmy spots a traffic agent parked illegally at a fire hydrant during a fire.
You're a traffic enforcement agent, and you parked your official vehicle blocking a fire pump, and there's a fire outside with firemen out there, and they have no access to the pump? You ought to be ashamed of yourself! You're supposed to enforce the law, not break the law!
It's pretty gutsy. You walk right up to these police officers, and some say you don't always show them the greatest amount of respect.
I will only show respect to a police officer who does his job properly. It's a no-standing any time zone.
Here, it's a Board of Education worker.
You're parked on a sidewalk.
It gets ugly. Jimmy's already on his third camera.
Let me get out of my face, man!
It's the least that we can ask, that the same people that are out there to enforce the parking and the traffic laws obey the laws themselves.
This new video revolution, he says, levels the playing field, giving the average Joe, or Jimmy, a chance to fight back against the power players.
You parked in a no standing from 7
and it seems to work.
And you and
the NYPD has launched a full investigation into the officers caught on tape.
Don't spit on me. Don't spit on me.
Well, I can do what I want.
Jimmy Justice won't reveal his real name, afraid of revenge by the city. But like most internet warriors, there was a single moment that sent him over the edge.
Last year, I witnessed a traffic enforcement agent give somebody a ticket for parking blocking a fire hydrant. And then the same traffic enforcement agent got back in his official vehicle. He made a U-turn. He blocked a different fire hydrant on the other side of the street and went into a restaurant to eat lunch.
The NYPD says that they've launched an investigation into the matter, and it's unknown yet if anyone has been disciplined.
Okay, we bring you now to the man, Jimmy Justice. Jimmy, if more Americans do what you're doing, something we've been doing for years, this is our exact type of tactic to show the hypocrisy, a lot of corruption and double standards are going to come to an end. I commend you, Jimmy Justice.
All right, thank you. First, I want to say that it's an honor to be invited on your show. Thank you very much for calling and contacting me. And I agree with you. The more video cameras out there, it's going to be much harder for the police to do something wrong. And we need to put video cameras out, not just to keep an eye on the public, but also to keep an eye on the watchers.
What made you do this? When did you start doing this?
Well, I work as an audio systems engineer and here in New York City, and I also play guitar in a rock band. And in a lot of places, there are no standing zones, but according to the law, you're allowed to stop temporarily to drop off a passenger or to drop off your cargo, and then you have to move along and park properly. And often I pull up in front of a club to unload my guitar and my gear, and then I'm going to run back into my car and leave. And I'm allowed to do that according to New York City traffic rules. But often they just come up and they write you a ticket anyway. And go and argue with them. They are a bunch of mindless, illiterate drones. They don't even know the laws that they're enforcing because they openly flout those same laws while they're running their personal errands.
Well, that's a good way to put it. I mean, New York police, on average, treat the citizens like they are maggot droppings. I mean, they are just out of control. And so that's how this started, is you're giving them some of their own medicine now.
Yeah, now, absolutely. Now, sometimes if I would be getting paid $100 to play guitar at a show, and I would get a ticket for $115, it would cost me money to go and do this. And these things have, this anger has been building up in me for a long time. And about 2 years ago, I witnessed a traffic enforcement agent write a civilian a summons for parking, blocking a hydrant.
Let me stop you, Jimmy. They've started this in the last 10 years. They're civilians, too. We're not in the martial law dictatorship. Mayors call us civilians. They're all civilians, too. They're not a military occupying force, even if they say they are criminally. Go ahead.
Right. And just to make a differentiation to your listeners, in New York City, the police department, the actual guys with guns and arresting powers, are called the NYPD. And the Traffic Enforcement Agency is a civilian arm of the NYPD.
But the NYPD is civilian too, sir. They're not a military. Go ahead.
Okay.
We all use that term. We need to stop using it. Go ahead.
Okay. My point was, though, that the Traffic Enforcement Agency has even less training than an actual NYPD police officer. They don't have arresting powers. They don't carry a gun. It's their sole job to help the flow of traffic go more smoothly and to write parking summonses. And boy, do they do their job with this viciousness toward the public. And New York City has a policy of predatory ticketing. And I believe that when traffic law was originally written, there was a degree of altruism. And these laws were written to increase public safety for motorists and for pedestrians. But it isn't that way anymore. Cities, especially New York City, are using these traffic laws as a means of raising revenue. And here in New York City, they write about 15 million parking tickets per year, and it brings in $500 million into the city coffers. And it's an outright disgrace. And what hurts a lot more than receiving a parking ticket, especially if you believe you didn't deserve one, is watching the same officer who gave you that ticket commit the same violation with his official vehicle.
Amazing. Now, how are they responding to you when they see you on the street now? I mean, you're pretty bold. You're polite in most of the videos, but when there was actually a fire going on, you really got in their face. You could tell that you were outraged by it. And they get these self-satisfied, you-know-what-eating grins, you know, like it's a big joke. Some of them threaten you. Some of them break your cameras. I mean, are you starting to get heat over this?
I'm getting some heat from the police department and from the union that represents the Traffic Enforcement Agency. And Keith Richburg just wrote an article about me in the Washington Post this week where he quotes James Huntley, who who is the president of the Traffic Enforcement Agency Union, who said that they are pressing a case against me for harassment and trying to get me arrested.
This is unbelievable. You were there showing them break the law, hypocrites, giving someone a ticket and then going and parking illegally 5 seconds later. And to them, in their warped view, there's big editorials and news pieces saying, Jimmy, justice is bad. I mean, this is insane. So now they want to get you, quote, for harassment for talking to the gods. But the gods, they want to harass us.
Yeah. And they just passed a new law that was signed by Governor Patterson in New York that makes it a Class A felony to assault a traffic enforcement agency, punishable by 7 years in jail. If one citizen here in New York would punch another citizen in the face, they might get 6 months or a year in jail. But do the same thing to a traffic enforcement agent, and now you're facing 7 years.
By the way, these are the people, who's the top 60 Minutes guy? He interviews all the world leaders. Wallace.
What's
Mike
his Wallace, right?
Mike Wallace. Remember they beat him up and beat his driver up and it all came out in court?
Yeah, I have a faint recollection of that.
No, yeah, no, that was about 3 years ago. That was traffic enforcement.
Oh, right. Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
He was coming in a taxi to his studio and
And they said the taxi couldn't stop and let him out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at which even if it was a no standing zone, the taxi is permitted to drop off your passenger and then you have to keep going. So he argued with the traffic cop, and they punched him out, and then they had him arrested.
Yeah, let me tell you about New York, folks. You'll be standing on a huge sidewalk, blocking no one, with a video camera out, not even talking, and a cop will walk over and go, "What you doing?" And you'll say, "Well, I'm just here getting some shots." "You got some permit for it? Listen here, Mac. Listen to me. Don't you talk back to me. I'll take you to jail right now." We have video of that in martial law, and I'm told this only started in the last 10 years. What's wrong with these people?
Yeah, I mean, they tried to intimidate me, and the first thing a police officer would say is, "Let me see your ID," as if I'm supposed to just shrivel up and melt because he's asking me for
this
my
ID. This is my slave there, boy.
I would not let something like that intimidate me. I know that I'm right.
What do you say to this? What do you say to the paramilitary forces when they demand your slave card?
What?
Your ID card, your slave card. What do you do when they demand the ID?
I try not to show it to them because I don't want them to know my real name. Jimmy Justice is a pseudonym. I picked this name because it sounds like give me justice, and that's what I'm all about. Evening and leveling the playing field. If they knew my real name, they can come to my house when I'm not there to defend myself and just write 100 parking tickets on my car.
All right, when we come back, stay there, Jimmy Justice. When we come back, I have an idea forming in my head about what we need to do. We need to create Jimmy Justice squads, ladies and gentlemen, in every major city and keep putting them on YouTube, Google, put them on local access, show them to the local news. They don't like it? Well, let's intensify what we're doing. We don't like being treated like third world slaves either. So now you're going to get your own medicine. Take a look out your window, babe. There's a scene you'd like to catch.
Look out your window, babe, and there's a scene you'd like to catch. Band is playing Dixie. Man got his hand outstretched.
Jimmy Justice.
Could be the local.
Jimmy, what do you think of the idea of people not even meeting with you, but just taking the idea? We do similar things for years, but I like your idea of showing them breaking petty laws, regulations. Still very serious because of the hypocritical nature. And more people in New York City doing this. And folks, that means if you're looking out your window and see a cop parked in front of a fire hydrant, you videotape it. You don't even have to walk up to him, or you could walk up and say, "Why are you parked in front of that fire hydrant, but you'd give me a ticket?" You know, now if a pregnant woman stops and it's been in the news, sits on a bench too long, they give you a ticket. You're screamed at. You're yelled at. D.C. was just as bad. It's all about letting you know you work for them. You are scum. You are a slave. Jimmy Justice, what about more people across the country doing what you've done? Do you like that idea?
I love that idea. And there are many reasons why I started to make these videos and exhibit them on YouTube for the public to see. First of all, I want the public to be entertained. I also want the police officers who were caught on video behaving badly to be embarrassed, and I want other police officers to know that at any moment somebody could pop out from behind a tree with a video camera So they should think twice before they abuse their authority. And I also wanted to inspire copycats, because I can't be all over New York City and I can't be in every city at the same time. And I ask everybody to go out, pick up a video camera, or if you have to buy a new cell phone, get one with a video function. But at the same time, I warn you to not interfere with police activity. Don't get up in their face. Don't be threatening. And never put a hand on them.
Do you remember Mayor Bloomberg? They'll beat you up and say you attack them. Remember when Mayor Bloomberg...
I don't want to see anybody get hurt or arrested.
Yeah, because these are dangerous people. Remember six months ago when Bloomberg said, I'm banning videotaping in the city, and then he wasn't able to do that. I mean, they want to put cameras on us, but then we're not allowed to have cameras on them. Violates the First Amendment. More of this tyranny. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's just a lot of bull. That's another double standard. You know that in England... they made a proposal to the police department that there should be video cameras on their guns, which would start recording automatically whenever the police officer would pull his gun out of the holster. And in this way, if the police officer ever had to shoot his gun, it would be videotaped to show that that it was proper or improper for him to do that. And the police were fighting this, and I couldn't understand why. Why wouldn't they want it videoed unless they have something to hide?
Well, I don't even want to start surveilling them that way, because then that'll roll downhill onto us. Like, they track cops with GPS in their cars now. And, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I want my freedom. I want them to have their freedom. But I'm all for citizens, under their First Amendment, videotaping them when they're doing something wrong. Tell folks about your YouTube channel.
Yeah, so if people want to go to jimmyjustice.net, it'll be bounced to my YouTube channels where they could watch any of my videos for free. And they could watch me get into the faces of the traffic enforcement agents here in New York City who openly flout the exact same laws which they are paid to enforce.
You got a lot of videos up there.
Yes.
I mean, are they starting to recognize you when you come up to them? Or?
Oh, yeah. They all know me. Sometimes if they see me coming, they turn and run away. So. Effectively, I can stop traffic enforcement on an entire city block by just standing there with my camera, because they will run away and they will go somewhere else. Sometimes I have to dress differently. Sometimes I'll put a fake mustache on, or I will dress in a suit, or, you know, wear different style of clothes just so I can sneak up on them. Recently, I've been doing it at night, and it's the first time I've been going out at night doing it, so they haven't seen that one coming.
What other types of things are you catching on video that their lordships are doing?
I see them writing improper tickets, illegal tickets. I see the way that they harass the public, and I see the way that they openly flout the laws. And when I confront them on it, I usually come to them nicely. And I just stand there with the camera and I say, officer, you shouldn't be doing that. That's not fair. Someone else will get a ticket for that. And if they show me this attitude, as if there's this sense of entitlement that because they work for the city, they're above the law and they can do whatever they want, that's when I get all fired up.
Yeah, you got mad at the traffic enforcer who was in the store laughing and smiling at you at first about the fire outside, and she's blocking the fire hydrant. You got pretty mean to her. Yeah, that's what she deserved.
Yeah, she did deserve that, and her reaction was stereotypical to how the traffic enforcement agency in New York City behave, and how they treat the public with disdain, and how they believe they're entitled to act above the law.
Absolutely. I didn't know there had been a Washington Post article where they had one of the union people saying that you were this arch criminal. Where is that going?
Well, this article was written on Sunday. I don't know what is going to happen, if I'm going to end up getting arrested or not. It might be naive of me to think that they don't actually know my real name and address. I'm sure that they do. I'm certainly not going to make it easy on them.
Stay there. I'm going to come back and take calls, folks. We're going to do a few more minutes with Jimmy Justice. You see, videotaping them commit crimes, he needs to be arrested. That's not good. What Jimmy Justice is doing. And it's just amazing that they're talking about how he needs to be arrested for harassment, for going out and videotaping police breaking the law. But that is your rogue government. That is what this country and the world is turning into. Well, the counterbalance is people like Jimmy Justice and you out there watching on PrisonPlanet.tv and listening on the radio right now. Jimmy's going to leave us here in a few minutes. We'll talk to Michael, Kevin, and others that are patiently holding. The toll-free number to join us is 1-800-259-9231 on any issue you want to discuss. Jimmy, in closing, more about how you're this arch bandit that must be arrested now in the Washington Post, and I did pull it up. And that just illustrates the out-of-touch insanity of your major police departments.
Absolutely, it does. It is completely insane. You know, and instead of talking about the issue of abuse of authority, the president of the union and the commissioner of the police department want to launch this ad hominem campaign against me personally and call me a stalker or attempt to have me arrested for harassment.
Oh, really? Well, then the police are stalking us, which is really what a lot of them do. I mean, what's wrong with you videotaping their lordships?
I mean, if I'm a stalker or standing around with a video camera and showing the truth about how they abuse their authorities, then what about the meter maids here in New York who stand next to a parking meter that has 5 minutes left in it, and they are just waiting for that moment that the meter expires so they could slap a summons onto that person's car? I would think that they're stalking the person who owns that car. They should be arrested for stalking as well. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, as you said earlier.
Anything else you want to add, sir?
Absolutely. I just want to add that in the case of blocking a fire hydrant, what's the difference if it's my car or a civilian vehicle or if it's the vehicle of a traffic enforcement agent who is eating lunch? It's a dangerous thing to do.
But that's a god. You're a civilian slave in a military dictatorship. See, when you use their term civilian, you're playing into that, but that's what they think. Go ahead. You're an occupied territory. You're an occupied schmo to be sucked off of and nothing more.
I believe that the police department and the government relies upon our ignorance of our rights, and that's how they trample all over us. And I want to ask everybody who's listening to read the Constitution and read all of your local laws and find out how you can fight back. Don't let the government or the police take over. Everybody is born free and we should remain that way.
All right, again, jimmyjustice.net is the website. You can watch just masses of videos there. And if I was you, my friend, I'd get some other people to work with you. You've gotten enough fame now. I'm sure they'll want to be involved with you. And it's also fun. And I would rig a car with hidden cameras that go into a DVR inside the glove compartment, and then rig up microphones inside. So when they come and harass you, it's even better. And this is it: run stings against them everywhere and see how they like it.
Oh, they're not going to like it. And I've had emails from people in the public that support the work that I'm doing, and they're talking about helping me build such a system of hidden cameras so I can get much better video. And I'm going to hopefully soon employ that system into my arsenal.
Well, you act very confident. It's why you haven't been beaten or killed yet. If you really wanted to set them up, and you're not setting them up, you would act cowardly and acquiesce to them. And then you can have somebody across the street. I mean, the first time you do this, they're going to probably physically attack you, so it's pretty dangerous. And have someone set it up, you know, in a hidden with a hidden camera in a vehicle or something. And then when they
right.
come up, act scared and go, "Oh, yes, oh." And then that triggers the bully mentality, and then you've got them. But I don't know, that's pretty dangerous. You might just get tasered to death. I mean, they call it lighting a person up, where four or five all taser at the same time, and then just start tasering till you die. It's a big celebration of death,
bro,
of America and destruction of freedom.
Yeah, don't tase me, bro.
Yeah, that's right. You don't ask questions of Kerry, even when it's question and answer time, or you will be tased in Land of the Cowards, Home of the Slaves.
Yeah, that was so ridiculous, what happened to that poor kid.
Well, it's all part of the freedom, sir. They're not going to be able to suck the pension funds and destroy the dollar and steal the whole country unless they can have their minions have their way. And that's why what you're doing is so important. And I know there's cops that aren't evil like this, but more and more are becoming evil, and the top people want them to be evil because we have a criminal government, and we have to say no to these bullies and these mafia thugs. Jimmy Justice, thanks for spending time with us.
All right, thank you very much for inviting me, and have a great day.
Anything else, arch criminal, that you want to add?
Just everybody should go out and buy a digital camcorder and learn your rights. You're allowed to use it and fight back.
How gracious of them to allow it. I appreciate it. Take care, my friend.
Yes, bye-bye.
Good job. Folks, things are way out of whack. The balance of power is way out of whack. It's time to stop. And I've had, you know, Austin cops come to me and when I'm 200 yards away, 100 yards away, and say, turn your camera off, don't videotape the checkpoint. I just go, nope, First Amendment, you're interfering with us. No, I'm not. I'm 100 yards away. And they go, okay, I'm going to arrest you. And I go, okay, buddy. Well, you're going to get in a lot of trouble for that. You may beat the rap, but you're not going to beat the rival, and I sue you. And they back off. Or, you can't protest on the street corner. Don't violate my First Amendment. The city's lost a bunch of lawsuits over this. I'm going to sue you personally. And I was out there just, six, 8 months ago. It was the last scene in Endgame. It's actually in the extras. And the Austin police come over, and I think it was a sergeant and some others wanted to arrest me, and then the higher-up showed up and said, yeah, arrest me, and then the police basically refused. They were arguing, and I was going, okay, I'm going to sue you. Please don't make me spend money to sue you. And they finally got mad, were like, ugh, and left. Hey, man, it's my First Amendment. It's America. I'm not putting you down. I'm not making you look bad. I'm not, I don't want to have confrontations with you. I know you're a dangerous paramilitary organization, a gang. The point is, this is America. Leave me alone. You know, get that straight. Now, New York, they just don't care. They will arrest you, and they don't care. They've lost hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. It's got to be more than 1,000 lawsuits for arresting press, for arresting AP reporters. I mean, they don't care. They've been told, hey, we're a criminal op, have your way. And it's bad, folks. And when I got to the New York Police Department, when they arrested me last 9/11, it was September 9th, we were there for the last anniversary. And they get me to the jail, and they said, what's the charge? Oh, he hit a cop. And I went, and they were like, big cop, hit cops, big man. And I went, you know that's not true. And there were 100 cameras out there, and they go, and the head guy behind the counter goes, is that true? And they go, yeah, well, you know, he's a tough guy. And they brought me behind the first iron door, and they go, I'm taking your cuffs off, big guy. You're not going to take a swing like you did at the other offices. And I said, I mean, I have no respect for you, folks. And I said, oh, my God. I just shook my head. And they said, we got a special sales for you. They took me back. Not that one. Not this one. It was probably like 15 cells lined up on the first floor there. Ancient jail, you know, that had like the big old keys, big giant keys. And I'm walking by and they're not that, oh, because the empty cells were open. And then every other cell had a person in it. No, not that one for you. And I'm going, what's going on? They take me down to the end, and he goes, here it is. And I, as we walk towards the cell, I see water on the floor running out to a drain. And I walk in. He's like, this is your cell. Literally, like out of a caricature of a movie. And I'm like, okay. And overflowed toilet and you-know-what all over the floor. And by the way, no AC in there. It was probably like 95 degrees that night. So I'm like in this 100-degree cell, which is fine. And I just laid down in the cell and thought, well, this will be big in the news. Laid down there with the nice aroma wafting up from the floor. And then about an hour and a half later, let him go! Let him go! I hear as they arrive, the chant. And the place is shaking with let him go, with people all around the building chanting, let him go. All of a sudden, all this brass shows up, captains show up. What are you in here for? And they're like, and then I hear him talking in the hall. What'd you arrest him for? No sound permit for? That's not an arrestable offense. And they come back, and then it's like, he wants something to drink. One little something. They bring me a little McDonald's orange drink, and, oh, we'll get you right out of here. And then that was one, I think it was a captain, and then another one meets me at the door, and he goes, listen, you get their people, you get them out of here. If there's any problems from you, it's rock and roll. And he goes, it's rock and roll with his fist. And I went, it's like an old man saying this to me. I mean, it's mafia, folks. And I'm just like, I go outside, and I go, okay, let's get out of here, folks. Because more cops were arriving and massing. And what it was those captains didn't like being called in from watching the football game or whatever it was they were doing. That you know, that night at 11 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night. I was about 11 by then. Yeah, it's just unbelievable. Oh, we got a special cell for you. And then they openly discussed framing me for hitting a cop. No, when those cops came up to me and said, come here and talk to us, and they said, okay, you're being arrested, I just stuck my hands behind my back. They didn't even have to touch me. because I knew one wrong move, my head was split. And the victory against America would intensify. The attack, the vicious stabbing America in the heart would attack. They would have their way with America by violating my First Amendment, by setting me up with criminal charges. And they sleep good at night knowing they're setting people up. They sleep good knowing their boss is bringing the narcotics. They sleep good knowing they're a mafia, you know, badges and guns and a public that's brainwashed. I mean, how am I supposed to love you? How am I supposed to like you? How am I supposed to respect you? I just thank God I live in Austin, Texas, which isn't one-tenth as bad as New York. Because in New York, when they shoot somebody in the back, the cops don't get in trouble. I have to say, Al Silveda, our new police chief, is actually, when cops shoot some innocent person in the back, he's actually firing them. People say, oh, he's anti-cop. No. If you punish bad cops, then the system doesn't become corrupt and police get respect again. In fact, the former Seattle police chief just went public in a big Playboy magazine article about 2 years ago saying, my God, you know, 20 years ago or so, we started having the policy of just defending all the corruption, thinking that would stop lawsuits, and actually it made it many times worse. And he said, police chiefs have to start punishing bad police and this gang mentality. It has to happen. I mean, I'm not signing on to live in a third world country where I'm bossed around by gang members in uniforms. Okay, let's go to your phone calls here. Let's talk to Bill in New Jersey, then Mike and Scott. You're on the air.
Hi, Alex. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I just wanted to ask you about Ralph Nader. I plan on voting for him this year. What do you think about him?
Ralph Nader comes on this show, and we try to be nice to those we have on the show. By a quirk of fate, I was invited to speak at an anti-war rally in Crawford on the one-year anniversary. I guess it was 2004, March, whatever it was, the anniversary. And there's like 500 people, 600 people out there, and the group that got the fairgrounds was nice and invited all the groups. And then when those groups showed up, they go, when Alex Jones is speaking, that was a little communist from UT, they were like, no, we don't want to be part of this. But Ralph Nader was like, no, let him, it's their fairground, let Alex Jones introduce me. So I introduced Ralph Nader, and you know, I've had him on as a guest a few times. And I think a lot of his go-after-corporate-corruption stuff, anti-war stuff's good. I don't agree with some of his more socialist aspects, but I think Ralph Nader's a genuine person who means well. I'm not going to be voting for Ralph Nader. Number one, we don't have real voting in Travis County with the electronic voting machines been proven to be fraudulent over and over again. So I still, though, vote just to expose the corruption and to make it harder for him to fix elections. We have to all go vote and be involved. Around 40% of the country now really doesn't have voting. That's been proven. I happen to be one of the towns that has that. I'll be voting for the Constitution Party to try to strengthen true third parties. But I wish Ron Paul was still running for president. You know, when he told us on the air he was basically wasn't going to win 3 or 4 months ago, people couldn't believe it. Even when he said it and said I lied, then I had him back on to say it again, and still they say I'm making that up. It's kind of a delusional. I'm still getting emails going, how dare you, traitor, he will be president. And I'm just like, okay, all righty then. You know, you know, that's my take on that.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Let's go ahead and talk to Mike in Georgia. Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Great show today. I love the new Prison Planet and everything you guys have done with it. And the behind-the-scenes interviews and everything.
Well, we're about to redesign Prison Planet again with a different look. So, and actually, this new system we're going to have, the header's going to be a different image every day. It's going to be a more revolutionary website.
Yeah, well, the behind-the-scenes interviews and the live video stream is...
Oh, you mean you like what I'm doing with PrisonPlanet.tv? Gotcha.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's what I've always wanted you guys to do. It's awesome. It's great. I just had two quick questions for you. Can you tell me what countries are left in the world that don't have a New World Order controlled debt-based monetary system?
Well, now, there are countries that aren't New World Order controlled, but because governments are generally evil and wicked 99% of the time, it doesn't mean those countries are good. I want to be clear.
Right, right.
So let me tell you, it's every country under attack. It's Libya. It's Iran. Sorry, go ahead and ask your question.
Are there any left that don't have a debt-based monetary system like ours.
Yeah, let me list them. It's every rogue nation. When you see the PNAC list of 66 rogue nations, every one of those isn't New World Order controlled, and almost none of them have a debt-based private banker system. They have a government-issued currency. And so any rogue nation, the good, the bad, the ugly, the corrupt, the not corrupt, there's very few that aren't corrupt. I mean, Chavez is on the surface anti-New World Order, but he's doing a lot of stuff I disagree with. You know, I'm for freedom, freedom of the press, the rest of it. But no, there are very few. Of the 60, I haven't done a study of it, but I know that some of them have a debt money system with their own. Most of them don't. And so any country that's not basically run by the bankers, where they own the money machines, is covertly overthrown, sanctions, or they're invaded.
One more quick question. And I think it was Endgame. You were talking about the societies in, throughout history that were truly free, and I think you said there was only something like 11 or 12 that could have been considered truly free. Could you just tell me what a few of those were?
There have been periods in England where there has been comparatively freedom. The Dutch, the Northern Kingdoms, after they rebelled against the Vatican, had a pretty big modicum of freedom. The five Northern Kingdoms, before that it was Spanish Holland, and then it was taken into Germany and France. What we know of as modern Holland is Orange Holland. There, of course, has been the United States to some extent, Canada to some extent, Australia to some extent. There were a few Greek city-states that had a modicum of freedom compared to most societies. There have been a few island states, a few... I mean, there's not many. I think I say less than 10.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Alex. God bless you.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. We'll be right back after this quick break, ladies and gentlemen. And we will continue with Scott, Helen, and a few others in the final segment of this Thursday edition. Then you're going to have Jason Burmess in here tomorrow and on the Sunday show, 4 to 6 p.m. Don't forget my new film, Truth Rising's out. Get it. Must be some kind of way out of here.
There must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief.
You know, we've had a little lighter discussion in this final hour today. We had Ray McGovern on for an hour and 50 minutes. Unbelievable topics covered. That was in the second and third hour. And in the first hour, I got into threats against activists, some of the latest threats, people being intimidated, what's happening to the Information Clearinghouse, what's happened to us, and how important this is. Ties into the web censorship, all of it. Don't forget, I have that big internet contest Sunday. It's contest at Infowars.com. You got to have it all submitted by Sunday, like at midnight. Then Monday, I'll announce the winner of a $2,000 prize, making a video about internet censorship that incorporates Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and we're being censored. And it's whoever gets the most hit counts. And I've seen a few submissions, but not too many. I guess it's kind of like, I mean, where's the action out there? We got one coming up the 19th for $5,000. Another one. So, I mean, let's see some action here. Or help me get it out on video boards in place of people to, you know. The whole point of this is to educate people about censorship. Who's up next here in line?
Scott in Arizona.
Scott in Arizona, then Helen. I at least want to get to you guys. Scott in Arizona, go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I had a question for you. There was a guy that I saw on YouTube claims to be an insider named George Green. Have you ever had him on your show, or do you know who he is?
Refresh my memory. Who is it?
He said he was in high-end banking, and he said he belonged to, like, he was an insider for a while during Carter's administration.
Yeah, did he put out, I think, is he the guy that wrote Economic Hitman?
I don't know if he wrote that book, but I know that he claims that he was in banking, and they wanted him to work doing something with the financial part of it.
Well, we have all the IMF and World Bank documents and have had a bunch of those people on. I mean, that's all. You know, there's so many people who, quote, have the inside but no proof. And I'm not saying he doesn't. I don't know him. Instead of just all the admitted documentation we have. I never understand that.
Well, he claims to have, he's backseating the same stuff you are. But he says he has all the proof to prove what he did. They asked him to build a concentration camp at one point during this time he was involved with them. He said that Ted Kennedy was part of it inside there with Henry Kissinger.
I'll have to look into that. I'll look into it. Thank you for the call. Helen in Florida, go ahead. You're our last caller.
Yes, Alex. John Perkins wrote Economic Hit.
That's right, John Perkins. I know.
Right.
Sure.
About 5 years ago, I obtained this book titled The Secret Terrorist, and it's put up by Miracle Ministries in Eustis, Florida. I couldn't find anything more about it.
Now, I've been sent literally hundreds of those booklets. It's got America in red with the crosshairs on it.
No. But I put it down 3 times because I was so thoroughly disgusted blaming the Jesuits for everything. Then I finally lifted up because I was raised a Catholic and went to Boston College Catholic and all that. I was horrified. But as I began reading it, anyway, in 1814-15, after the Napoleonic Wars, supposedly these monarchs of Europe, including Russia, Prussia, Germany, Austria, and the Vatican monarchy, got together and put together this peace treaty under the guise of peace treaty. But their main objective was to destroy all populist governments, which means the United States is the main target. And then it goes to the whole book, all the documenting. Documentation, even some F.B. Morris.
Interesting. Look, I got to cut you off because the show is over. Thank you. We are out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. Back tomorrow live, 11 to 3 and Sunday 4 to 6. Retransmission on the internet starts one place with amazing revelations of death threats and the rest of it, InfoWars.com. Subscribe to the free podcast and check out the InfoWars Network.